was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution began. Help the brothers, how can you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, my toll-free long distance. What'd I say? 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up, get to me. Ooh, we have much to talk about. I'm not done with this Dick Cheney piece. I'm not done with it. And it should come as no surprise to any of you that one of the reasons why Dick Cheney and company did not call is because they were in violation of the law. Let me just walk through this, because I'm not a hunter. I'm not a sports fan. And correctify me if I am inaccurate on this. But stay with me as we walk through this. Let me get this straight. You drive in a truck with a bunch of trucks to go hunt quail. Here's the piece on that. Quail are very sensitive. They fly at any and every provocation. So you have all these vehicles. You have 7 ambulances. You have 4 trucks full of doctors with defibrillators with them. You have doctors with needles to shoot into your heart in case you know that doesn't work. You've got the Secret Service. You've got another mystery guest that was there, probably Abramoff was there. So you have all of these trucks, all of these ambulances, all of these doctors rolling down a road hunting quail. Now, a man that has 2 or 3 ambulances flying, driving with him, a man that has a whole pickup truck full of doctors driving with him, is not going to travel too far in the bush. My question to you is, my observation is this. I suspect that the quails were all in a little pen. I suspect that that's where they were. Did anybody ever see Welcome to Mooseport? I know it wasn't a very good movie. A lot of people didn't like it. I liked it. I thought it was cute. But there was one scene where the president, played by Gene Hackman, was playing golf in order for, they were playing golf for this, the attention of this woman. Okay. And the president said that he had a 10 handicap. And during the game, his ex, the president's ex-wife came out and said, no, you don't have a 10-10 handicap. And she yelled, come out of the woods. And all of these Secret Service men came out of the woods because whenever the president, played by Gene Hackman, would always get this incredible bounce when he hit him into the woods. They would just bounce right back out. Turns out the Secret Service were in the woods. Every time that he hit a ball into the wood, a Secret Service agent would bounce it back out. And Gene Hackman, as president, never knew that. So perhaps we have the same type of thing going on with Dick Cheney, that we have Secret Service men out in the field rounding up quail for Dick Cheney to slaughter. I'm just guessing. Let me share this with you. Dick Cheney shot this man in the face, right? Quail are birds that you flush them and then you shoot them. That means that your gun is pointing up towards the air. Is that not right? What was his gun doing at face level? It's been a bad week for Dick Cheney. The news reports say the accident happened around 5:30 p.m. In Texas, quail can be hunted until 30 minutes after sunset. Sunset on Saturday, Corpus Christi, was at 6:18, which means that they were legal until 6:48. That's what around is? The news reports say that after Whittington had gotten off his shot and went looking for his bird, Cheney and the other hunter went to another spot where they saw a covey of quail. Texas quail may be a little different from Iowa quail, but in Iowa, when a shotgun goes off, every quail within earshot flutters away. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. None of the stories have commented on the fact that, as I said, that they were road hunting, hunting from the car. I guess cowards and people that believe in torture would road hunt, wouldn't they? He doesn't have intestinal fortitude to do real man hunting. They call it, what do they call road hunting? What's the technical term? What's the technical term for road hunting? Oh, yeah, poaching. That's what they call it, poaching. A man that's worth $50 bazillion plus $50 bazillion that he's stealing out of your pocket every day poaches. Ain't that some stuff? Poaching. And isn't that illegal, too? In Texas, it's unlawful to hunt from or by means of motor-driven vehicles and land conveyances or aircraft, except paraplegics or single or double amputees may hunt from stationary motor-driven vehicles or land conveyances. Poaching. The Vice President of the United States, who's worth $1 bazillion, is poaching. Hunting quail in Texas requires an upland game bird stamp. Costs $7. Guess what? Dick Cheney didn't have the $7 on him. They didn't get the license. Is it a surprise to you that a man that advocates for, insists upon, twist arms for, believes in, and glorifies in the opportunity of torture? You think he's going to let any stinking law change his role? Of course not. And this isn't the first time that Dick Cheney has done a canned hunt. Remember? In Pennsylvania, he caught on about 70 to 95 birds. after he went to a canned pheasant hunt in Pennsylvania. The Secret Servicemen basically throw the birds up in the air, and they say, "Look, Dick, shoot! Look, Dick, shoot! Shoot, Dick, shoot!" It's just amazing. It is absolutely amazing. This is the state of our country. The world is falling apart, and he's out poaching. The Vice President of the United States is out poaching. And, oh, by the way, the guy that got shot in the face, Texas lawyer Harry Whittington, he's still in the hospital. I bet you are. It's a lot of buckshot. What'd you do? Or what do you think you do? Huh. I love some of the stuff that's going on out in that, though. Guns don't shoot people. The Vice President shoots people. Jim Brady. Remember Jim Brady? He's a guy that got shot during Reagan's administration, is now an avid anti-gun. He said, and I quote, "Now I understand why Dick Cheney keeps asking me to go hunting with him." "I thought Dick Cheney was scary for a long time," said his wife, Sarah Brady. "Now I know I was right to be nervous." T-shirts, Dead-Eyed Dick. Woo! 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Yeah, my goodness, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Guns don't shoot people. The Vice President shoots people. Ooh, and don't forget, we cannot, this is an event that was, isn't this, a couple of things. If this is not a confession, God has a sense of humor. I'm telling you, God has a sense of humor. Because if you look at this, this is proof that God has a sense of humor. Because what does it demonstrate? That Dick Cheney and George Bush, they are consistently and will be forever and ever, amen, the gang who couldn't shoot straight. And if that ain't a message from God about who these people are, they're the gang who can't shoot straight. He goes on a quail hunt and shoots a man in the face. He goes on a weapons for mass destruction hunt. My bad. There aren't any there. Goes looking for Osama bin Laden. Can't find him. Goes looking for Saddam Hussein. Somebody else finds him. Goes looking for terrorists and he finds American citizens. Whoo! Guns don't shoot people. The Vice President shoots people. Whoo! 454-0400. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Lee?
I'm outstanding.
Are you familiar with the song 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover?
There must be 50 ways to leave your
lover. That's right. Uh-huh. Well, they have a book out now called 50 Ways to Lose Your Life, and the number one way was to go hunting with Dick Cheney. Good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. 78-year-old man, still in the hospital. Buckshot in him from Dick Cheney, who was... I just understand how much of a screw-up you have to be. Understand how much of a screw-up you have to be. They drove you to the birds and you missed them with a shotgun. Not a bullet, because shotguns spatter everywhere. The people in your group drove you to the birds, pointed you at the birds, walked you to the birds along with your oxygen tank and along with your ambulance, walked you to the birds, and you still shot somebody in the face. Ain't that some mess? You feel safe? You think these fellas have their finger on the pulse of where the terrorists are at? I don't think so. John, good morning.
Yeah, Liz. I wanted to ask you, you know, you keep talking about how President Bush lied. What about President Clinton? His famous statement, I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
He lied. He absolutely lied. And who died as a result of that?
Nobody's died. But
okay, so if we're going to evaluate lies, Bill Clinton lied. He lied through his teeth. He lied to his mama. He lied to his God. He lied to the American people. The difference between those two lies is nobody died as a result of Bill Clinton's lie. I'd rather have somebody lie. If I don't want either one of them to lie. Nobody in the White House should lie at all. But if somebody's going to lie, I'd rather have a guy lying about whether or not he cheated on his wife than somebody that lied on whether or not there are weapons of mass destruction and that there are tens of thousands of people that are dead, Iraqi citizens that are dead, and thousands of Americans are dead, and tens of thousands of Americans wounded, and their lives changed negatively for the rest of their lives. Which one would you rather have? Hello?
Well, I don't think it's been proven that President Bush lied.
Then why'd you ask me about Clinton? Hello.
But the point that you were
trying to make, and now that you don't like it and you want to move away from it, the point is that you wanted to make a comparison between George Bush's lie and Bill Clinton's lie.
No, that's what I'm
sure
saying.
You did.
I don't think it's been proven that George Bush lied.
Well, I don't think you're paying attention.
Oh, I'm not.
No, you're not. Thank you, sweetie. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. Whoo! Got buckshot? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
I'm selling shotgun shells.
Duck!
Yeah, you know, remember Chappaquiddick?
Yes, I do.
This is their Chappaquiddick, isn't it?
It's worse than Chappaquiddick. It's worse.
And what makes it so bad is that the whole country is seeing the spinners. I'd like to see Bill Riley's show and these guys send the spin and set the spin. And you wonder why the tone of the country is in the way it is with everybody spinning themselves out of the truth.
He lied, we died, impeach him.
That's right.
He lied, we died, impeach him.
So when you see a cop's decision get turned around for police brutality, it's all in the same mold. Have a good day.
Take care of yourself, Mike. 454-0400 is my phone number. We are taking a break. My name is Liz Brown. My goodness gracious. We have so much stuff to talk about. You need to get to me. Oh, I love this song.
I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's run up, but we got to keep your head up.
I'll keep your head up.
Cause a new day will come. And love to the sun, even when the darkness shall come. Oh,
it's real sun. Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Northbound 55 between Imperial Main and Rivas Barracks. No problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Lindbergh looks good. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield Airport all the way into Timberlake Manor is on the move. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for delays there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry. No problems to report. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way into New Halls Ferry is on the move as well. Eastbound 40 from 141 to 270 looks good. Westbound 5570. From 4th Street onto the PSB, expect slight delays. Westbound 64 from 25th to 5570 split looks good. Northbound Route 3 from Queenie onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect no delays at this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split to Memorial Drive, everything is moving at a very good clip this morning. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through February, purchase 4 tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive 3 complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly sunny, breezy, not quite as cool today, high around 55 this evening. Partly cloudy with a low around 40 for Wednesday. Increasing cloudiness as an afternoon shower is possible. The high should be around 55 for Wednesday evening. Once again, mostly cloudy skies, chance of rain, and a low around 45. Then on Thursday, rather cloudy, a chance of rain, high around 55 once again. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies and 31 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clear skies and 30 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
There's nothing like a lively conversation among friends, but sometimes the discussion can get a little too lively. Name-calling is not allowed, nor is verbal sniping at other callers or hosts. Remember, you can disagree without being disagreeable. Just a reminder from your friends at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Sometimes those who need flu vaccine most can't ask for it. If your child is 6 through 23 months of age or has a serious medical condition, talk to your doctor about influenza immunization today, because your baby can't. Influenza and its related complications can lead to hospitalizations and even death in children. It's very serious. So are we. Kids need flu vaccine too. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and American Academy of Pediatrics. Visit nfid.org or aap.org.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues in the African American History Series. On Saturday, February 18th at 12 noon at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park, explore the historical relationships between various racial and ethnic groups in St. Louis by taking part in the guided Missouri History Museum tour, St. Louis in Black and White. After the tour, celebrate the life of late civil rights pioneer Rosa Parks in the dramatic play Rosa Parks and the Montgomery Bus Boycott, performance at 2 p.m. Tickets are $5 per person for the general public and $3 per person for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Call 361-9017 or go to www.mohistory.org. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. You need to get up. Get to me. Things are not going things are not going very well for Dick Cheney. The weekend where he shot that man in the face, there also was a at the dawn of the at the dawn of the on that crucial election year, this is what his friends This is what the friends of Dick Cheney and George Bush are saying about them. Jonah Goldberg. You can't get any more right-wing than Jonah Goldberg. He is just a wicked, mean tongue columnist and a right-wing fanatic. You know what he said? He's talking about Bush's record deficits. He says, Bush is spending money like a pimp with a week to live. That's from his friends, okay? That's from his friends. Fox News analyst Tony Snow said that Bush's decision to shelve his Social Security privatization plan is an act of surrender. Yet another Reagan policy domestic policy advisor, Bruce Bartlett, is releasing a book this month titled Imposter, How George W. Bush Bankrupt America and Betrayed the Reagan Legacy. And those are the words from his friends. Like a pimp spending money on his 1 week to live. Ouch. At the annual Conservative Political Action Conference, the CPAC, that's when that, maybe that's why Cheney shot this dude. They were particularly toxic. Normally, the thousands who would spend most of their time trying to ensure that liberalism is a dirty word, this year, the dirty word happened to be George Bush. Bush was painted as another Bill Clinton or Jimmy Carter, because he's pushing a downscale domestic agenda. Even Rick Perry, who succeeded Bush as governor of Texas, rebuked Bush for failing to secure the borders against illegal immigrants, and they questioned Bush's national security record. These are from this is from his friends. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, Bob. What's up?
Oh, right. Now, do you know what? Did you? I got something to tell you about Cheney, but what I want to say was let all the listeners have a little prayer this morning. And then remember, did you hear about the couple last night? What happened was the husband had to work today for Valentine's Day. So what he said was, he said, honey, I'll take you to dinner tonight, which was last night. Well, he took her to dinner, and they had a good time, exchanged gifts. Well, on the way back home, St. Louis City police were chasing the guy. And when they did, the other guys were driving an SUV, too, and they were in an SUV. The truck that the couple was in that went to dinner, the front grill was in the back seat.
Jesus.
Okay, now, he died on the scene, and his wife right now is in Barnes clinging to life because city chased. Now, just like I said, today we'll be having a good day, Valentine. Just keep him in memory for prayer. That's what I want to say. I mean, because that's just heartbreaking. I mean, you know, when they interviewed Mokar, he said, well, they flashed the gun, and when they flashed the gun, we could let them drive through the city like that, and they shot at us. They have to have a cover story. So we're going to pray for them.
Right.
And number two is, did you know, they were interviewing the doctor at the hospital for Cheney, and they said the guy that got shot in the face.
Whittington.
For the rest of his life, he's going to have buckshots in his face because it would be more painful taking him out than it would be, I mean, leaving him in rather than taking him out. So he's going to have buckshots from now on when he leaves the hospital.
And that's some stuff.
Ain't that some stuff? And my last thing, Liz, is you about the mayor of Illinois that got busted with meth last night?
That's right.
The police went to the house. And the thing is, Liz, she consented to a police search. And it went there and found meth, found paraphernalia.
Well, she was probably high. That's why she said yes.
Yes.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Aleem?
Yes. How you doing, my sister?
I'm outstanding.
You still haven't caught the... That's what I'm talking about on TV Land yet?
No, I have not.
Okay. It's a good program, honestly. Anybody out in the Wake Up Land who checked it out, you know, it's real good.
All right. Man. Thanks, Aleem.
All right.
540-0400 is my phone number. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning. You know, not only did old Ricochet Rick shoot the man.
Ricochet Dick.
Not only did he shoot him. The poor thing has to live with a buckshot in his face the rest of his life. Okay, does that mean that he can't go through a metal detector
that
anymore?
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he's one of the chief undertakers of Texas.
That is correct.
Yeah, he's on the board.
That is correct.
Now, what I want to know is, you know, these folks come from families that have had enough money to have them educated, supposedly, in what are considered to be the best schools this continent has to offer.
And what does that say about the best schools?
Okay. And still so phenomenally incompetent. Not only does he not know how to shoot, apparently he can't tell colors either.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you wear orange vests to go shooting?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I still want to know how in the hell it was that you're aiming at these birds, and quail usually do fly. They're not chickens. They don't crawl on the ground.
No.
They don't walk around on the ground.
They're not turkeys.
No.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, how was it that this person was so low, how did you manage to shoot him in the face?
You shoot a quail up in the air.
Yeah.
How do you shoot him
in the
face?
What did he do, run out and jump up in front?
The 70-year-old man jumped up high enough to catch the buckshot? What is that? You know, I stop hitting you if you get your face out my fist.
Okay.
I stop shooting you if you stop putting your face in my gun barrel.
You know, this is really too much.
Oh, it is way too much. It is way too much. And what was their first act? Their first act was
to cover it up. Oh, by the way, law and order, folks. You know, the GOP.
That's right.
Right-wingers.
That's right.
Everybody has, this is a nation of laws,
that's
not
right.
of men.
Rule of law. Like the caller that called a few minutes ago. Well, didn't Bill Clinton lie?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he lied. He sure
But nobody
did.
Ended up with a face full of buckshot behind it.
Nobody ended up dead. Nobody ended up dead as a result of his lie.
And not only that, you know, come on, people. This really says something about the mentality of people in this country, too, that people actually are not only defending it, but are trying to discount it as though, well, this really doesn't matter. It's not even newsworthy. Why are you talking about it?
Uh-huh.
By the way, another thing, let's think about this. You've got all these ambulances, medical crew, Secret Service, at a cost of how much? How much would it have cost to have a quail dinner ordered from any gourmet restaurant?
Well, they didn't get any quail. They had to go order quail dinner anyway because they didn't get any. Thanks for your call. 454-0400. They still had to order out. Whoo! 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We're taking a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about.
Boom, clack, boom, clack. I want a real shot.
Come on. Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. And stay tuned for today's solutions with David Lenihan from 4 to 6.
It's been a strange winter. Warm one week and cold the next. All that stress is hard on your roof. Better call Phil Person Roofing at 361-7127 and get it checked ahead of the spring rains. You can get a 15-year warranty on the new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Finance that new roof, commercial or residential, with your Visa or MasterCard. Always free estimates. Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Nairobi. 20 leading politicians in Kenya have been told not to leave the country as an investigation into corruption continues. The 20 have ties to something called the Goldberg Affair, which involves millions of dollars being paid for exports of gold and diamonds that never took place. The 20 people have been told to surrender their passports, their firearms licenses, and their weapons. The former head of the corruption investigation gave to the BBC last week a tape of Energy Minister Kiratu Murungi trying to convince him to hold up on his investigations. Murungi subsequently resigned. President Mwai Kibaki came to power 4 years ago promising to eradicate corruption, but this scandal and another involving phony leases has tainted his administration. What's worse is that President Kibaki apparently knew all this was going on more than a year ago. And Dateline Nuevo Laredo. More of the Wild West mentality along the U.S.-Mexico border. Two chiefs of police have been shot and killed by unknown gunmen in Nuevo León State on the border. Rival drug gangs have been in a long-running battle for control of smuggling routes into the U.S. In one attack, armed men broke into the police station in Sabinas Hidalgo and kidnapped the police chief. He was later found dead with a bullet wound to the back of his head. Later, more armed men killed the police chief of San Pedro Garza, a wealthy part of Monterrey, as he drove through town on patrol. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Are those wedding bells I'm hearing? You know what that means. No, not Valentine's Day. It's the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review at St. Clair Square, February 18th and 19th. Whether you're planning an entire wedding or just looking for ideas for your wedding planner, the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review is the place to be. Bridal Fest will have vendors and exhibitors from all areas of the bridal and party industry. See the latest fashions while you explore a variety of displays that are sure to inspire. Take a break in the center court and enjoy the music from Night Magic Entertainment. Don't forget to stop by the Bridal Registry, sign up for the mailing list, and pick up your Bridal Fest bingo card. Fill in the spaces and you could win one of thousands of dollars in prizes to be given away all weekend long. That's the St. Clair Bridal Fest, February 18th and 19th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored by Patty Cakes, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. Get more details at sbcshows.com. This is a specialized promotional concepts production.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Love makes me treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
Ooh, baby, ain't I good to you? 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. My toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget that we are broadcast. We stream. We're streamed at WGNU.net or LizBrown.com. My show is archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can also go to my website, check out the shows, check out some, if you want a little bit more information, you want to find out a little bit more about a guest that we've had on the show, get to LizBrown.com, check out the corner store, get one of those George Bush Doesn't Care About Black Folks t-shirt. Oh, it's awesome. Or Living My Life as an African and Loving It. We got those t-shirts too, and so much more. Go to the corner store, get your shop on. Everybody wants to talk about Cheney, all right? We can do that, too. We can do that. Al, you're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Liz Brown.
Brother Al, good morning.
You know, I hate to change the subject, but I want to know, did you?
Wait a minute. You called to talk about Cheney. You can't change the subject now.
Well, I want to talk about slavery for a minute.
All right.
Did you happen to hear the newscaster and the black lady up in Philadelphia yesterday that said they found a black graveyard up in Philadelphia? And the town leaders said they didn't know they had Africans that far up northeast. Well, one of the reporters reminded the mayor that they had found an African grave in New York. Did you happen to hear that news brief?
Did not.
You know, it's amazing, and what I'm asking you, Liz, while you're talking about Cheney and how the people lie, and the man that was making comparison between Clinton, how can this nation heal itself, Liz, if they never accept the truth about its history and its past? How can they go into the future believing the lies that they've been told all their lives?
Well, and it's a little bit deeper than believing the lies. It's vigorously defending the lies and vigorously and being intolerant of anything but hearing the lie.
One more question. You remember just before we went to war, the Indians had won a lawsuit somewhere around $40 or $50 billion for something that the government had done to them, and the courts had awarded the Indians that amount of money. We went to war with Iraq, and they put the Indians affair on the back burner because the Congress said, we'll never pay that kind of money. Have you heard anything on that since they won that award?
Mm-hmm. I've heard two things.
What's that?
Jack Abramoff.
See?
Bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call, Cole.
Yeah, Liz. I listened to that guy, Carlson Tucker, yesterday. And a little nerd guy to wear a bow tie. He said he didn't understand why everybody was up in the air because Cheney did this on his private time.
Oh, that's right. If you steal on your private time, if you lie on your private time, whose time was Bill Clinton on when he was messing around with Monica Lewinsky? Well, was he in the middle of a news conference or was he on his own private time?
Yeah, well, I was relieved to know that. So now I can go shoot somebody in the face as long as I'm not at work. All right, thanks, Liz.
It's New World Order. Up is down, down is not your lunch break, okay? Because technically you're still at work, okay? When you get home, ooh, ready, fire, aim. Ready, fire, aim. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Steve, good morning.
As far as this Dick Cheney now, he was hunting without a license.
That's correct.
Now, isn't that a misdemeanor crime?
Don't know if it's a misdemeanor, but I know that he certainly has a rule, a law, a regulation of some sort has been broken by Dick Cheney. Go figure. What are the odds?
And, well, you know, I got a ticket for trespassing just going down on the riverfront fishing.
Uh-huh.
They consider that a misdemeanor. I was fined $150.
Well, now.
But you know what? If that's a misdemeanor crime, that guy's got to go. According to the Republican Party itself.
Absolutely.
And they set.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, one more thing, and I'll let you go. Everybody should start paying attention in the next few days because they're going to start having these hearings on Able Danger. And though Lou Dobbs isn't really one of my favorite newscasters, the guy does seem to hit him pretty hard. You're going to find out, you know, just watch Lou Dobbs for the next few days.
As long as he's not talking about immigration. I can listen to him because he's a nut job. He's a nut job on that.
Well, he's been pretty hard hitting on this Able Danger too, and he'll have some upstanding guests.
All right.
In the next few days.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Okay. Are you on a speakerphone?
Not anymore.
All right.
you know, there's been a lot of talk about this foolishness that went on with this. Well, probably $20 billion, but they're saying $8 point some odd billion. Now, the president of the United States, chairman of several companies, vice president of the United States, chairman of one of the largest, if not the largest, oil drilling company in the world, treasury secretary, USS Steel. You get the flavor? You see where I'm going with this? You know, you've got supposedly captains of industry peppered all through the Bush administration, and they didn't bother to write down who they gave this money in Iraq to. It doesn't even make it, you know, that doesn't even begin to sound like it makes any sense.
Well, the conclusion to draw from that is that when you put government in the hands of business, government gets screwed. Okay, the American people get screwed. We all get taken advantage of. When you put our government in the hands of big business, I'd rather have a government bureaucrat any day of the week than, let me see, what's the name? Oh, how about Enron?
Mm-hmm.
How about Kenny Boylay? How about Jack Abramoff? I would rather have the country in the hands of a government bureaucrat any day than big business, because this is the largest deficit in the history of the world.
Yeah.
And big business is running this government.
Yeah. Now, and then let's come right over here to our country. It's the same thing. What happened down the Gulf Coast? You know, an absolute disaster. Absolute disaster.
No, absolute continuing disaster. It's not over yet. It was a disaster from before it happened. Before Katrina hit, it was a disaster. When Katrina hit, it was a disaster. And after Katrina hit, it is a disaster. It is a disaster on three levels.
Absolutely.
It's
ongoing.
And
it hasn't stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. Money's missing.
Gotta roll. Thanks. I gotta roll. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Earlene.
Hey, Liz.
Good morning.
You have a very intelligent listening audience, so perhaps they can recall, because I cannot, the name of the NBA basketball player who I believe faced some type of manslaughter or other charges because his chauffeur or someone was shot in his driveway while he was in the house.
Mm.
And methinks the problem was that it was not reported
mm-hmm.
in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, didn't I just hear last week that was a Ja Rule or some rap star and his entourage were being sought for questioning because his bodyguard was shot outside of a warehouse where they were inside making videos and they left the scene and the police were looking for them to question them as to why they did not stick around and report it. So, you know, again, it's not who committed the crime or whatever the crime.
No, it's not about the crime. It's about those who commit the crime.
So,
Dick Cheney did not report this. He said, I was waiting for somebody else to do it.
Well, and he also said he was more concerned about the person getting some medical coverage. Okay, did it take 24 hours for the person to get medical coverage?
Earlene, let's be clear. Dick Cheney drives around with 7 ambulances following him.
Well,
He drives. It was all not medical staff. He had a medical team. He has an entire semi truck filled with doctors, oxygen tanks, and every kind of medical device in the world. The medical people were there on the scene.
Well, then he wanted to let the owner of the ranch report it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I bet you did.
So, you know, you go to somebody else. Well, again, I hope the brother, the basketball player, who, whatever his name is looking at that. Maybe he can, you know, get some type of relief from this since we now have a new Cheney rule.
There we go. Thanks for your call, Earlene. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Join me in the next hour, open line, for your calls, questions, and comments. I'll be back. Stay with me.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's a latest from ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The emergency department at Tulane University Hospital opens today. This is the first medical center in New Orleans that is getting back into business since Hurricane Katrina. The question, though, is just, will Tulane be able to handle all of the business that it might get? Chief of Surgery Dr. Doug Slakey says he's worried about that.
We're actually concerned that we may be overwhelmed, and we've spent a tremendous amount of time looking at staffing and making sure we have adequate people to cover call in the emergency room and any emergency surgeries that might come up.
Just the emergency room is opening today. The rest of the hospital could take weeks to be up and running. Now, the opening comes a day before a Republican-led House committee is expected to issue a scathing report on the Bush administration's response to Katrina. ABC's Martha Raddatz has seen parts of that report.
The draft report calls Katrina a national failure, an abdication of the most solemn obligation to provide for the common welfare. But the committee does not stop there. If this is what happens when we have advance warning, says the report, we shudder to imagine the consequences when we do not. 4.5 years after 9/11, America is still not ready for prime time.
The Senate Homeland Security Committee is conducting hearings into the debacle as well. The next to testify will be Secretary Michael Chertoff. Well, you could say that you have definitely arrived when you've made the late night talk show monologues. And Vice President Cheney's hunting accident was front and center last night.
This is all part of the Bush administration's new Social Security plan. Once you hit 78, you're gone.
That's ABC's Jimmy Kimmel on Jimmy Kimmel Live. The man Cheney shot is on the mend. He could be out of the hospital soon. And while the vice president may not have to worry about criminal charges, he needs to do something about his hunting license situation. Seems he didn't have the proper bird stamp when he went out last weekend. The White House says the check's in the mail. This is ABC News.
A moonlight carriage ride down a cobblestone road. But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and with every bump, the pain drives you insane.
I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cream with maximum strength pain relief still relieves burning and itching and adds maximum strength pain relief on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H relief ever.
Don't you love carriage rides?
I do now.
Preparation H cream. Pain relief on contact. Use as directed.
Criminal justice is one of America's fastest growing career fields. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue exciting entry-level opportunities. At the ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice, they teach you the fundamentals of the criminal justice system. Classes meet just a few days a week, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 1-800-851-4499. 1-800-851-4499.
Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
The winner will be picked tonight at the Westminster Dog Show. Last night, however, some other bests in show were honored. Here's ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
A solemn ceremony honored dogs who survived and their rescuers.
Keep a fire for the human race.
The USA Channel's coverage showed pictures of injured and abandoned dogs being flashed on the Madison Square Garden scoreboard. The Jackson Browne song For a Dancer played, with lyrics that include, I don't remember losing track of you, now you're nowhere to be found. A half dozen dogs with Gulf Coast connections were introduced, including one that recovered from burns and an amputated toe. At the end, there was a standing ovation. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.
If you have a new sweetie this Valentine's Day, you might want to take him or her out for pizza tonight. The chain Domino says you can tell a lot about someone from what they like on their pie. Pepperoni or other single meat toppings, they're extroverted. Veggies, introverted. And unusual stuff like pineapple, adventurous. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Update of WGNU News. This report brought to you by Helzberg Diamonds. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news this morning, gas prices in the St. Louis area are down to $1.99 a gallon in some places. Julie Neiman, an analyst for R.T. Jones Capital Equity, credits the current price dip to the fact that fewer people are driving than before and heating bills are down from last year. She says the price dip will only be temporary, though, as prices will head back up when the weather gets warmer and people start to drive more. In other news, SSM, St. Joseph's Health Center, will use funds from the Karen Weidinger Foundation to fulfill its wish list for its breast health center. Lisa Dreyer-Jones, a spokesperson for the hospital, says the $12,000 will be used for a very specific purpose to treat uninsured and underinsured women. Jones says the money will stay in St. Charles County and will treat women who have breast cancer or early detection of breast cancer, in early detection of breast cancer. If you're still looking for a last-minute Valentine's Day gift, you may want to consider chocolate. Natalie Allen, a registered dietitian from Barnes Jewish Hospital, says dark chocolate in particular is good for the heart. She says the antioxidants in dark chocolate help lower bad cholesterol and increase good cholesterol. Despite the health benefits, though, Allen says she doesn't recommend going on an all-chocolate diet, saying you only need about 3 ounces a day to reap those benefits. Internationally acclaimed financial expert Susie Orman, on the topic of Valentine's Day, says sending a Valentine and a caution to all lovers is what she wants to do. Orman says you need to consider your sweetheart's financial picture before taking a walk down the aisle. Statistics show that one out of every two marriages ends in divorce because of money. And finally, other statistics show that 15% of the U.S. population suffers from pet allergies. However, that should not stop you from being a pet owner, says internationally recognized pet grooming expert Shirley Calstone. Calstone says those who suffer from allergies can have pets as long as they bathe their animals once a week and dust and vacuum their homes frequently. St. Louis is ranked 18th most allergenic city in the U.S. And that's a report of WGNU News, brought to you by Helzberg Diamonds. Today is Valentine's Day. If you don't have her gift yet, don't panic. You can still make it sparkle with a gift from Helzberg Diamonds. Visit Helzberg.com for a store near you. Helzberg Diamonds, moments that sparkle. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and River de Pere, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from 141 to 270 looks good. Eastbound 40 from Spirit of St. Louis Airport all the way into Clarkson is flowing freely. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, expect delays this hour. Northbound 270 from Gravois to Marshall, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge to 170 is on the move. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Ballas looks good. Southbound 270 at Olive, look for a disabled truck on the ramp. Westbound 5570 from 64 on the PSB, you can expect slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 split is also slow. Northbound Illinois Route 3, 8th Street onto the PSB, look for slow traffic on those ramps. Westbound 64, or westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way onto Laclede's Landing, you can expect some slight delays this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps. The world's leader in specialized financial staffing. When you need temporary accounting or financial help, call Account Temps. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, mostly sunny, breezy, not quite as cool, with a high around 55. This evening, partly cloudy with a low around 44. Wednesday, increasing cloudiness, even a shower is possible in the afternoon with a high around 55. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy. Once again, a chance of rain with a low around 45. Then on Thursday, cloudy skies, chance of rain with a high around 55. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 33 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is also reporting 33 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Thank you. was shot and was killed tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
dignity. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My goodness gracious, it's Valentine's Day. We're going to be playing some of our Valentine's wishes throughout this hour. So listen up, folks. You just may hear your sweetie giving you a Valentine, sending you a Valentine's message. So peppered throughout this show, this hour, we're going to play some of our Valentine's wishes. So you don't want to, you want to stick around for this hour. I want you all to feel the world, the weight of the world right now. I want you to feel it. Feel what is going on in this world that we're living in right now. We have a guy sitting in the vice president's office whose instinct is, as an elected person, theoretically elected anyway, by a democratic society representing the millions and millions and millions and millions of people here that are American citizens, red, white, and bluers, okay, those of us that were born in this country or who have become American citizens. His instinct is in the land of where democracy was born, right? His instinct is to say, I don't have to tell y'all nothing. I don't have to tell y'all jack. This is the guy that shot somebody in the face and didn't report it. I was waiting on somebody else. I was going to let somebody else report it. This is the guy, and don't forget this, this is the guy who went to the hospital just a few days ago, that he wouldn't tell the American people that he was going to the hospital. But instead, he told the American people that there was something wrong with his foot. They had to check his heart because of something that was happening with his foot. Oh, yeah, we stupid. American people, we just stupid. We gonna buy that. I want you to feel the weight of this world that we're living in. The times that we're living in. Their instinct is to lie to us. Their instinct is to they ain't got the truth in them. I mean, the bottom line is they ain't got the truth in them. How is it that Alberto Gonzalez, the attorney general, goes to a Senate committee to defend spying on Americans by this administration, and the Republican Party says, oh, baby, you don't need to go get under oath. No, we don't do the oath thing anymore. They ain't got the truth in them. You have oil execs that have made the largest profits in the history of the world, in the history of corporations, largest quarter profits in the history of the world. They go to Congress to explain themselves. Senator, a different Republican senator, mind you, because Specter said, baby, you don't need to go under oath. A different senator, the nut job from Alaska, said, no, you're not going to get put under oath. No, we don't do that here. They ain't got the truth in them. Do you know that we would have had exploding Republican bodies? They would still be exploding. We would be wiping exploding Republicans off of our sidewalks. Still today, if Bill Clinton had walked into the Senate and said, oh no, and the Democrats had said, oh no, baby, you don't need to be under oath. You imagine that? You imagine that? They would still be exploding today. You'd still be washing them up off your sidewalks. They don't have the truth in them. They don't have the truth in them. Check this out. And as a Republican said, as a conservative Republican said, they don't have the truth in them. I said they don't have the truth in them. The conservative Republican writer, Jonah Goldberg is his name, said George Bush is spending your money like a pimp who only has 1 week to live. Those are their words. You want the proof? Yesterday, the day before Valentine's Day, Nancy Pelosi, George Miller, Elijah Cummings, and other senior Democrats released a Government Accountability Office report, that's a GAO, saying that the Bush administration has spent more than, fasten your seatbelts, folks, fasten your seatbelts. This administration has spent more than $1.6 billion on public relations and media contracts in 2.5 years. Can I get a witness from the folks that are getting kicked out of their hotel rooms in New Orleans right now? Can I get a witness? Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen to the poor people whose government abandoned them, whose government was on vacation, whose government spits in their face, whose government lies to them? Can I get an amen from the folks that are being kicked out of their hotel rooms right now with no place to live? And amen, hallelujah, to the fact that your good government spent $1.6 billion on public relations. How'd that work out for them? How'd that work out for you? The same government that lost $8 billion in Iraq. They sent planes full of money and $100,000 bricks. And they lost. They can't account for $8 billion. Can I get a witness to what your government is like? They ain't got the truth in them. What did Ray say? What did Ray's mama say? What did Ray's mama say? Scratch a liar, find a thief. They ain't got the truth in them. And you ain't got nothing in your wallets. Check this out. I ain't done here. You want to know who's making out? What do they say? They all hang together, right? Check this out. This gonna make you pull your covers over your head and say, I just can't go out there today. I just can't go out there today. Ford Motor Company, right, announced a few days ago that it had cut 10,000 jobs last year and then it will cut up to 30,000 more jobs, right? They cut all those jobs, and guess what? They got hundreds of millions of dollars courtesy of George Bush's American Jobs Creation Act. Do you know that? How do you simultaneously cut jobs and benefit from the Americans' Job Creation Act? Well, how do you have no left your child behind policy and leave every child behind? Welcome to the world of George W. Bush. Huh. They pocketed $850 million in profit that it earned overseas that it doesn't have to share with the Internal Revenue Service. Huh. In case you've forgotten, this job creation law, this act created by George W. Bush, gave U.S. companies a one-time chance in 2005 to repatriate profits made overseas and pay only 5.2% tax on them rather than 35%. Huh. Did you hear what I said? George W. Bush gave Ford Motor Company the opportunity to bring your profits back home, but you only have to pay 5.25% tax on the profits rather than the 35%. They made $850 million. $850 million. And what did an American Institute fellow, Philip Swagel, formerly chief of staff of Bush's Council of Economic Advisors, what did he say about this policy? He said, you might as well have taken a helicopter over a 90210 and pushed the money out the door. Because that's what you did. $850 million. $850 million and 30,000 jobs that no longer exist in America. How you like me now? How you like me now? Hey, Howard, I feel like a Valentine's message. We need something nice to for the folks to hear because there's a whole lot of bad stuff going on out here. I want to share one of our Valentine's Day wishes with some lucky someone out there. One or two. Number one or number two. Either one.
This is a Valentine's Day message to someone special from Liz Brown and The Wake Up Call.
To my wife, Joanne, this year you gave me a miracle, our son, Jason. I never knew how much I could love, and I never knew how much I loved you. You gave me the gift of family, and I am forever grateful. I love you and our son so much that now I have hope, and now I don't fear the future because I know you both are in it. Your grateful, loving husband, Aaron.
Happy Valentine's Day from Liz Brown and The Wake Up Call.
See, doesn't that make you feel better? Doesn't that somebody out there loves somebody? Somebody out there loves somebody. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on The Wake Up Call.
Hi, Liz.
Hey, Sandy.
Hi, happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, sweetie.
That's all I got to say, I guess.
All right, Sandy. You happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
Thanks.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on The Wake Up Call.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm with you on the amen thing. It's because, you know, what we have here is you saying that the politicians think that the American people are really dumb. You know, when you educate a person, ma'am, you practically know what they will do. 80% of the time, you know what they will do. This is why people like to educate their own. And America is a liar from the beginning. The Indian said you speak with forked tongues. And when I look at a person educating kids generation after generation, you bringing up people. The older people my age, we going down out. We've lived our life. But it's the people who come and own. When we're talking about the truth, these are the people who are not getting the truth. If these people, if you letting a person who you know that has lied all the way through history about your history, about the Indians, about everybody they have met, then you can only teach what you know.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Christine, good morning.
Good morning. That was a beautiful Valentine message.
Wasn't that pretty?
Oh, just beautiful. I wanted to let your listening audience know, I mean, I'm talking to the ones who don't know, that last Monday, a Republican by the name of Delbert Scott, he's a senator from Missouri, I believe he introduced a bill up in Jefferson City, and he wants us to have a driver's license or a state ID in order to vote in the next election. And I thought it was illegal to have to pay to vote, because if you don't have a Missouri ID or a driver's license, that would mean you'd have to go out and purchase one.
That's correct.
And I thought that was illegal. And besides that, it's more difficult, because one of the first things that Matt Blunt did was close down
the driver's license
offices.
Yes,
offices. And now you got to go out of your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say one other thing. I think when you had your guest on, he's a guest journalist by the name of, I think it's Lynn Washington. He kind of hit on something that I was irate about. I'm telling you, it's just mystifying that he was talking about a soldier in Iraq and his body armor. This soldier's name is Ed Weebrook, and he's from West Virginia, and he was severely wounded in Iraq, and he was treated by the Red Cross, and his body armor was so badly damaged that the Red Cross disposed of it. And do you know that they wouldn't let him out of the service until he scraped up $700 to pay for the body armor? I guess they have a rule that all soldiers, no matter how battered the body armor is, they have to turn it in. So being that the Red Cross disposed of it, he didn't have $700, and he had to scrape it up to pay for it, so they didn't let him out of service.
And actually, a bunch of people got together and paid for it, but it is an indication of the type of people that are running this government.
And
thanks.
It's an insult, because the thing about Halle Burton and their subsidiary, Kellogg, Bun, and Root, raking in trillions.
And I got a roll. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz. I'm wondering, would you be a believer if in 06 and in 08 again that the Republicans retained both houses? Would you believe finally that the people
I would believe that people are stuck on stupid. Absolutely. I would absolutely believe that.
Can I have one more question?
Sure.
Mr. Kennedy, I never did hear him come out and say, "Oh, I think they should have reported that within 24 hours, and I don't think you'll ever hear him say that, will you?
And you won't hear Bush say it either. Now what?
Well, is it a law that they have?
Well, then why are you concerned about whether Kennedy would say it? If Bush is not going to say it, why are you concerned about whether Kennedy would say it?
Well, Captain Whittick was a crime.
Oh, okay. And lying and killing people is not? Come on now, Gary. Come on. Come on, baby. You know, have some consistent standards. You know?
You're not going to hear Kennedy say it.
Well, you're not going to hear Bush say it either. Now what? Now what? I think we need to clean this up. I'd like to hear something sweet, Howard. Let's hear another one of those Valentine's Day messages. Let's hear another one of those. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Let's hear this.
This is a Valentine's Day message to someone special from Liz Brown and The Wake Up Call.
To my husband, Michael, you have been everything to me that I could have wished for and everything I have dreamed. My life has meaning, and my love knows no bounds. You are there to lift me, to love me, and to stand beside me. Thank you for everything. Your loving wife, Evie.
Happy Valentine's Day from Liz Brown and The Wake Up Call.
On that note, we're going to take a break, folks. My number here is 454-0400-1877-920-WGNU. Get to me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and River Fair, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Eastbound 40 from Long Road to Timberlake Manor, nothing there. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers to Cave Springs, you can expect slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Sappington to 44, look for stop and go. Westbound 270 from West Florissant to 170, look for delays this hour. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Lindbergh, expect delays. Eastbound 70 from 270 all the way into St. Charles Rock Road, it is slow, as well as westbound 5570 from 64 onto the PSV. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, it is slow. And westbound or northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Illinois Bank all the way on to Laclede's Landing, you can expect some slight delays. Southbound Graham at 270, look for an accident. Right lane is blocked there and is about a quarter mile back up on southbound Grand. And Clayton at Clarkson, look for a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked. And that's westbound. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Drive into Sonic this Tuesday evening for half-price burgers. That's right, half price. Get a classic Sonic burger for just half the price from 5 p.m. till close on Tuesdays. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, mostly sunny, breezy, not quite as cool with a high around 55 this evening. Partly cloudy skies with a low around 40. For Wednesday, clouds, a possible afternoon shower with a high around 55. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain with a low around 45. Then on Thursday, cloudy skies, another chance of rain with a high around 55. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 33 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Fields reporting 34. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. This is the station that discusses the issues that matter most to you. And if you have a problem with personal work or family relationships, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. Then go do the right thing.
Join the members of the 7th Police District Community Partnership for lunch as we honor the outstanding efforts of some of St. Louis' finest, the police officers of the 7th District. Blueberry Hill owner Joe Edwards will be the featured speaker, with KEZK's Ed Goodman as the MC.
This is Captain Jim Moran of the 7th District. Show your support by having lunch with us at the pageant on Wednesday, February 22nd at noon.
A limited number of tickets are still available for this event. Don't miss out. For more information or to purchase tickets, call Officer Kim at 444-0047. 347-344-0047. What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues in the African American History Series. On Saturday, February 18th at 12 noon at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park, explore the historical relationships between various racial and ethnic groups in St. Louis by taking part in the guided Missouri History Museum tour, St. Louis in Black and White. After the tour, celebrate the life of late civil rights pioneer Rosa Parks in the dramatic play, Rosa Parks and the Montgomery Bus Boycott,
performance at 2 p.m. Tickets are $5 per person for the general public and $3 per person for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Call 361-9017 or go to www.mohistory.org.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. James Brady, Sarah Brady made comments about Dick. James Brady said, "Now I understand why Dick Cheney keeps asking me to go hunting with him. I had a friend who accidentally shot pellets into his dog, and I thought he was an idiot." Sarah Brady said, I thought Cheney was scary for a long time. Now I know I have a right to be scared. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Yes. When you say people are stuck on stupid, that's an understatement. I'll tell you, I've seen this morning a news story about those trailers, unused.
That's right.
Brand new house trailers in Arkansas.
That's right.
In a mud pit.
That's
that
right.
Are sinking, and they're going to be ruined. 20,000 of them. Now, I mean, people had the nerve to say that they were offended by some of the statements that were made at Coretta King's funeral.
And you know what? They didn't make enough statements. George Bush was riding up right there. Everybody, you know what? They should have turned around and talked to his face and said the things that needed to be said.
Yeah, well, what I was offended by, that he was even there in the first place.
Fact.
That phony thing had
fact.
No business being there.
Fact. Fact, fact, fact. Thank you, CJ. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get to me. Donna.
Yes, Ms. Pratt. I'm calling back. I called a few weeks ago. I was, I guess, in the path of a chase. And I guess my thoughts this Valentine's Day is with the gentleman who was killed last night taking his wife to a Valentine's Day dinner. And I guess that was my point, that when people run, innocent people are killed. Again, I'll say it doesn't justify what the policeman did, but also we saw that somebody was lost, a father, a brother, an uncle, a son was lost because people decided to just do wrong.
But you know what, Donna,
but does it change the fact what the people, if they had weapons in the car that they did not supposed to have, did that alleviate that? Did that eliminate that fact? No, it did not. It's just that today somebody is gone that didn't have to be gone.
But you know what, I feel you on that, and I hear you on that. Do you know that there are cities that have do not chase policies by the police? Do you know that?
Ms. Brown, I have an elderly mom.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody ever did anything to her,
mm-hmm.
I think I'd have a fit if the officers just sat there and said, I could not go after them.
Well, no, don't take it to another place, because that's not true. To suggest that people can't be gotten because there's not a chase policy is a misunderstanding of how people are gotten. People can be gotten whether you have a chase policy, and that's why many cities don't have a no chase policy, because the statistics and because the experience and because of the crime figuring out policies that are out there and practices out there say that when you weigh it out, we can get people without killing people on the street. We don't need a chase policy.
But my thing is, aren't you giving them a head start? If I'm in a city and I have a criminal mind, I know that the police can't chase me.
And that's why you look at what happens to cities that don't have a chase policy, and no statistics supports that theory. No statistics support that. I understand why people would think that, and I know that people say that, but the statistics don't support that.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to hold you. It's just my prayers are with the family that lost somebody special to them this Valentine's Day.
Absolutely, Donna. Thank you for that. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You know who's having a really good Valentine's Day? The state of Washington. In the state of Washington, you know who's having a really good Valentine's Day? Walmart. Walmart's having a really good Valentine's Day because the state of Washington has had to pay $12 million. They paid $12 million in 2004 to provide government-subsidized health care to Walmart employees. $12 million in government subsidized health care to Walmart employees. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? I guess happy Valentine's Day to Walmart. You work, and just imagine that. Your job costs your state $12 million. Are those jobs that the state needs to have? I say fire them all. Get rid of all of them. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello, Liz. It's Booty, man. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Yeah, it's Vice President doing a little quail hunting there.
Duck!
Duck!
Dick's got a gun. Duck!
Well,
what is
know,
it? What is that phrase? What's the phrase?
11 years old, and you know, last time I think I talked to him, I was talking about my camper. But you know, if he's supposed to be a hunter,
uh-huh,
and that, unless he was drinking, and I was watching MSNBC, Ronald Reagan was saying about he might have been drinking. Now, you shoot, I trap, skeet, shoot. And usually when you shoot, even if it's behind you, Liz, before you throw your gun down, you just pretty much, now, it can happen. But that had to be a wild shoot to know that man was back there somewhere, and he's shooting on level to hit that man in the face.
That's fact.
Quails fly up.
That's
and
fact.
Goes down.
That's fact. That's
yeah.
fact. How did he shoot him at face level? And the man was in, what they're not saying is that this 78-year-old man was in intensive care.
Yeah,
they put him in intensive care, and he has pellets that were going to be in his face for the rest of his life, thanks to Dick Cheney.
Yeah, and Liz, 30 yards is possibly about 7 or 8 cars, depending on what size he's length.
Mm.
And surely, you know, if you shooting, like I said, even on a level, is that much hit that man in the face, I would say probably drinking, I don't care, just wild shooting with a gun out there.
Or they wanted to get him.
Yeah, and not only that is, Liz, if you get shot, the conservation or either the state, you know, any federal person like state troopers or even the sheriff going to investigate that at the hospital, and the doctor would have to call if he was shot. So, you know, they had to smother that until it got out of hand.
Yes,
so, I mean,
did.
That, you know, that's irrelevant to think people stupid.
That's fact. Thanks for your call, Boot Hill.
Yeah, you too, and you have a nice day.
Take care of yourself. I mean, just think about Dick Cheney's office. These are the dudes that told us, let me see. When Dick Cheney was rushed to the hospital with chest pains, his office would only confirm that the problem had been triggered by a recurrence of a pre-existing foot condition. What the? Huh? What the? Huh? A foot condition? Oh, yeah, that happens all the time. Stub my toe and my chest hurts. I've taken biology. I've taken college-level biology, and that's the way the body's wired. Stub your toe and your chest hurts. Right? They think we're stupid. They think we're stupid. Let's go out on a Valentine's a note, Howard. Let's go out on a Valentine's note. We need something nice. We need something nice. I'm 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get to me.
This is a Valentine's Day message to someone special from Liz Brown and the Wake Up Call.
To my boo, Robert, baby, you are it, and you will always be it. I love your mind, I love your heart, and I love everything else I can't say on the radio. Be my Valentine, Teresa.
Happy Valentine's Day from Liz Brown and the Wake Up Call.
Every ghetto, every city, and suburban place I've been, make me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by
Alliance Financial Group. How do the rich get rich? Let Alliance Financial Group show you how. Call 381-8967.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Baghdad. The government of Iraq says the United States wants too much for its wheat and plans to turn to other suppliers for 1 million tons of the grain. An official from the importing department says at first U.S. officials wanted $190 a ton, then the price was changed to $200 a ton. The minister says it would like to try and do business with Australia, but last year the two countries got into a dispute when wheat from Australia became contaminated with iron ore dust. And the Australian Wheat Board was accused of making illegal payments to the former government under the UN Oil for Food Program. Two American companies had won a contract last October to deliver 1 million tons of wheat, and it has started to arrive there now, but they're saying the price has changed. Global suppliers have been reluctant to do business with Iraq because they're afraid it can't handle shipping arrangements and they could lose money if their vessels arrive at Iraqi ports and can't be unloaded. And Dateline Washington. The American War College has published an interesting report entitled Getting Ready for a Nuclear-Ready Iran. It concludes that there is probably no way for the United States or Israel to put a stop to Iran's quest for nuclear technology. In an interesting spin, the report goes on to say that if Israel truly wanted to avoid a nuclear Middle East, it should take the lead and close down its Dimona nuclear reactor and hand over its nuclear material to a neutral third party. It should then allow the International Atomic Energy Agency to inspect its nuclear operations. And the report says the United States should put the thumb on Israel to make that happen. It also concludes that the only reason Iran and Pakistan have pursued a nuclear policy was a response to Israel's push for weapons. This is your wake-up call global news update, brought to you by...
Would you like to earn $500 to $2,500 a month? Have you been turned down for a real estate loan because of bad or poor credit? Would you like to invest in real estate but you don't know how to get started? All you need is the right strategy. Let Alliance Financial Group show you how with a free financial presentation this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Airport Hilton Hotel. Seating is limited, so call 381-8967. 381-8967.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis.
AM 920 WGNU.
Placing target at center range.
You're listening to one of the most advanced and highly mobile surface-to-air weapon systems utilized by the U.S. Army. It goes by the name of Staff Sergeant Patrick Dolman, Crew Chief of the Avenger Air Defense System, and an Army of One.
For more information, call Sergeant First Class Mural at 314-487-7771. Paid for by the U.S. Army. Go Army.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I want another Valentine's Day shout out. I want another Valentine's Day shout out. (450) 400 is my phone number.
This is a Valentine's Day message to someone special from Liz Brown and the Wake Up Call.
This is a secret Valentine's Day message to a lucky lady with the first initial M and the last initial B. I have a crush on you, and I knew you would be listening. Please be my Valentine. Keeping hope alive, Jimmy.
Happy Valentine's Day from Liz Brown and the Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Get to me, Gene. Oops.
Well, good morning, Miss.
Oops.
How you just beautiful day.
Oops. Let me do this, Gene. Good morning.
Liz Brown.
Yes.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you.
Did you hear about the mayor in Arndale that was caught with meth?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know to hear about that.
Yes, I did.
I'm wondering, am I going to hear it all afternoon on the radio about this lady that was caught with meth?
And she must have been high. She must have been high. She let the police in her house when she had all that meth in there. She must have been high. Had to be. She let her in. Let them in. Yeah, you can come in. I don't have anything to hide. Excuse me? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. She let them in. Ooh, ooh. Meth makes you stupid, doesn't it?
It does.
Meth
makes
you crack. Ooh. Ooh. Yes, come on in my house. Sure, come on in. Here's the door right here.
Oh, no.
You probably are really going to be interested in what's in this room behind door number 3 over here. Ooh, crazy.
I should have known you knew about it.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for your call, though.
Okay,
we'll keep an eye on how folks react to that, though.
That's
all right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Bless Valentine's Day.
Same to you, Miss Addie.
I would like to comment on the police chase.
Yes, ma'am.
Being one of the people that was hit by a car that was being chased by 12 police cars.
Oh, Jesus.
3 years ago. I've got 2 slip discs because of it. And I've had many, many problems since. I am so very disturbed every time there is someone injured or killed in a chase.
What is your position on it, Addie?
I think that the police that chase people and somebody gets hurt, the police should be charged, not the person they're chasing. Because I believe that the young man that hit me was going 110 miles an hour, and I was knocked off of Lucas and Highway 70. I'm blessed to be alive, and I'm very thankful. But it's so ironic that every time there is a chase, it's in the black neighborhood. I don't understand that.
Crime. Ask the mayor that just let the police in her house with all the mess.
And I don't understand why it's okay for them to do it in our area
and there's
no consequences.
I mean,
I suffered for 3 years, and they're not responsible for what happened to me.
They didn't pay you anything? The police didn't have a fundraiser or anything
for
you?
They have nothing, even a crime victim unit. I've written letters to them. I've no response from them yet. And this is 3 years ago, and I have truly been in trouble financially and everything else. But I have nightmares when I see this on TV.
I know that's right.
And when I see how they give the news and the negativity that comes from the news media, it hurts. And I have had these dreams for the last 3 weeks. I mean, I don't know if the spirit is leading me somewhere or what, but I just want my story told, and I need to have it out there. And it's really sad.
Thank you, Addie.
Thank you very much all that you do.
Thank you so much. Let's hear another message, Howard. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about.
This is a Valentine's Day message to someone special from Liz Brown and The Wake Up Call.
To my sweetie Jerome, you were born on Valentine's Day for a reason. You are as beautiful as a dozen roses, as sweet as our first hug, and you are the chocolate in a Hershey's kiss. I love you, baby. Ramona.
Happy Valentine's Day from Liz Brown and The Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Michael. Good morning. Michael?
Yes.
Yes. Quickly, please.
All right, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with the Al Gore situation. It seems that the press has been boosting that one up while covering Cheney's little hunting deal.
Which Al Gore thing?
I understood that how Al Gore made a statement over in Saudi Arabia saying that we were committing such atrocities over there.
Yeah. It doesn't seem balanced, does it? Why is that a story? Gotcha. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Mac, quickly, please.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I think we're just missing another picture here. The Secret Service men was there to protect Cheney. What would have happened if the man had shot Cheney? Don't you think he would have been dead this morning?
Mm-hmm. And they stood back and let Cheney bang away.
I think they would have let that gun been pointed at Cheney and wouldn't have killed him.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
James?
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to make a comment relative to the police chases and why it does happen in our neighborhood. I think a lot of times, now, being a former police officer, those chases do start in the, they do have them out in the county, but they sometimes lead into the city. And it's not really heard about. But I think one of the major points, the reason why it happens is because, you know, we don't take an active role. Not all of us, but some of us do. But, I mean, you have to be proactive. So you have to have
policies. There's a policy and understanding of where they can chase and where they don't. What property is valuable, what property is not, what lives are valuable, who they would get in trouble for killing, who they wouldn't get in trouble for killing. There's all of that that goes into it too, James. And I got a roll. Listen, folks, I'll be back in the next hour. You need to stay with me.
I remember.
to say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The trial of Saddam Hussein is in recess for now. The former Iraqi leader didn't let up on the antics in court, though, today. At one point, he cheered the insurgency, and he pointed a finger at the judge, and that didn't go over too well.
Don't point your finger at me like this. I am not your servant. Shut up. I may be better than you are. Don't point your finger like this. This is disgraceful.
Some of the proceedings through a translator there. Saddam also says he is in the third day of a hunger strike. The man Vice President Cheney accidentally shot over the weekend is on the mend.
Progress is excellent. He is talking, awake, alert, in good humor. Actually has made a few jokes here and there.
And that's one of Harry Whittington's doctors at a Corpus Christi hospital. The vice president was fodder, meanwhile, for the late night talk show monologue.
I think Cheney's starting to lose it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, after he shot the guy, he screamed, "Anyone else want to call domestic wiretapping illegal? Come on!"
Jay Leno on NBC's Tonight Show, and while Cheney may not have anything to worry about where criminal charges are concerned, he did get a warning from the state of Texas. Apparently, he didn't have a $7 bird hunting stamp. The White House says the check is in the mail. Well, here's a sign that life is returning to normal in New Orleans months after Hurricane Katrina. ABC's Alex Stone has a story.
Tulane University Hospital will not be fully operational for months, but today it will be the first hospital in New Orleans to reopen its emergency room.
We're going to open with just about a third or so of the normal facilities open.
Dr. Doug Slakey says until now, small field hospitals and clinics have been providing medical care in the city, and there are some major concerns being the only open hospital that Tulane's ER will be overrun with patients. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Later this week, a House committee issues its report on the federal response to Katrina. It comes down hard on the Bush administration. More of us hit the malls last month. Retail sales were up over 2%, the biggest jump in more than 6 years. This is ABC News.
What better way to celebrate President's Day than with a classic? At Kohl's President's Day sale, we're introducing Chaps for Her and Chaps for Boys, only at Kohl's. Starting this Wednesday, take 30% off all Chaps for Her, Chaps for Boys, and Chaps for Men. Plus, get big savings on all family athletic shoes. And take 40 to 50% off solid bath towels and sheet sets. And 10 to 50% off all kitchen electrics. At Kohl's President's Day sale, starting this Wednesday at 8 a.m. Kohl's. Expect great things.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-500-2001. That's 1-800-500-2001. 1-800-500-2001.
She was banged up good, but American skier Lindsay Kildow says she still wants to compete at the Winter Games in Torino. In fact, she says she didn't see the video of her fall yesterday during a practice run.
I heard it's kind of gnarly, so I probably won't be watching it for the next couple of months at least until I'm done skiing.
Kildow's going to be off her feet for at least a day or so while she rests a severely bruised hip. The men will take center stage today in Torino. They'll be on the slopes, and as ABC's Todd Ant tells us, on the ice.
In the world of men's figure skating, it's all about Evgeny Plushenko, and then there's the rest of the pack. The Russian is the overall favorite, but don't count out Matt Savoy, who's trying to downplay the pressure.
I'm trying to make it, you know, similar to any other competition because it's still competing. We're still doing two programs. The only thing that's changed is, I guess, the consequences.
The U.S. hopes also lie with Johnny Weir and Evan Lysacek. Todd and ABC News, Torino.
6 Olympic medals so far for Team USA, 4 of them gold. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Time for a WGNU News update. This report brought to you by Helzberg Diamonds. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. An Overland man is facing charges following a police standoff. Police say the incident began early yesterday morning after the 37-year-old suspect allegedly assaulted his pregnant girlfriend at their home in the 2800 block of Pasteur.
Overland Police Chief James Herron says the dispute stemmed from a recent death in the family.
There was a death in the family, and of course, emotions with the family members, as would normally be expected, were running high, and there was some kind of disagreement between the suspect and the female victim.
Police entered the home and took the suspect into custody without incident, although a loaded handgun was also found in the home. In other news, SSM St. Joseph's Health Center will use funds from the Karen Weidiger Foundation to fulfill its wish list for its breast health center. Lisa Dreyer-Jones, a spokesperson with the hospital, says the $12,000 will be used for a very specific purpose.
This money will be directed towards our oncology programs to help detect and treat breast cancer in women who are uninsured and or underinsured.
Jones says the money will stay in St. Charles County and will treat women who have breast cancer or will go to the early detection of breast cancer. Finally, if you're still looking for a last-minute Valentine's Day gift, you might want to consider chocolate. Natalie Allen, a registered dietitian from Barnes Jewish Hospital, says dark chocolate in particular is good for the heart.
Health benefits associated with dark chocolate are pretty numerous, actually. One, it can help lower the blood pressure. It can also help improve your cholesterol, and it can help lower your risk of heart disease.
Allen says the antioxidants in dark chocolate help lower bad cholesterol and increase good cholesterol, but it only takes a small amount to reap those benefits. She doesn't recommend an all-chocolate diet. And that's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by Helzberg Diamonds. Today's Valentine's Day. If you don't have her gift yet, don't panic. You can still make it sparkle with a gift from Helzberg Diamonds. Visit Helzberg.com for a store near you. Helzberg Diamonds, moments that sparkle. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Westbound 64.
It's Valentine's Day, and one of the world's great singers, Andrea Bocelli, is helping us celebrate with his new CD called Amore. The album producers call it a who's who of great love songs, including Italian classics and pop standards.
Eastbound 70 from Mendoza, Small King Spring, Woodford, Slow Traffic, Northbound 270 from Westbound Ferry 44.
The album includes duets with Stevie Wonder. This one is Impossible with Christina Aguilera.
Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mesa Rosa, Woodford, Slow Traffic. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Lindbergh. Expect voice there as well. Eastbound 70 from Earth City Expressway all the way into St. Charles.
Bocelli will sing at the closing ceremony of the Winter Olympics in Torino. Song he wrote especially.
Plays there as well. And westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 at Bowell Avenue and Poplar Street Bridge. Look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound Route 3 from Queenie onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for heavy volume as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split to Laclede's Landing. Slight delays there. Old Halls Ferry at Lindbergh. There's a report of an accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps. Call today for a free 2006 salary guide providing the latest finance and accounting hiring outlook, top skills in demand, and much more. Call today. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Mostly sunny, breezy, not quite as cool. High around 55 this evening, partly cloudy with a low around 40. Wednesday, increasing clouds, a chance of an afternoon shower, high around 55. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 45. Then on Thursday, cloudy skies, high around 55. And that is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Currently, we have 33 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Going to give it to you. You were born with
was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that's the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air feels the brother.
How can you get there? The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. In our next hour, we are going to have investigative journalist Anthony Fenton. He's back from Venezuela, and he's going to talk to us about Haiti. He's back from Venezuela, but he's going to talk to us about Haiti, the Haitian elections. You don't want to miss that show. Anthony is so well-informed. You do not want to miss that story because they're still counting the votes. It's just like, it's Florida all over. I guess it makes sense considering how close Florida is to Haiti. It's Florida all over again. They're still counting the votes in Haiti on who the president is going to be. And you don't want to miss that interview with Anthony Fenton in the next hour. 454-0400 is my phone number. I just want to, this is a sober reminder. Saturday's a shooting of a 78-year-old man by Dick Cheney is a reminder that more than a quarter of a million Americans have been injured by firearms during the reign of George W. Bush. From 2001 through 2004, 252,076 people, Americans, were injured by firearms. And that's while George Bush has been in charge. Dick Cheney has been the administration's most vocal pro-gun voice. He addressed the National Rifles Association's annual meeting in 2004. In his speech to the NRA members, Cheney described himself and Bush as lifelong gun owners, lifelong hunters, lifelong anglers, and strong believers in the Bill of Rights and of the Constitution. As, like many of you, I grew up close to the land, and I learned from my dad how to handle a gun. So is your daddy dead from gunshot wounds? I learned from my dad how to handle a gun, and I still look forward every chance to join up with friends and go hunting. Dang. Dang. Huh. And what's the significance of this? Think of this. Dick Cheney has had all this training. Dick Cheney has had all of this life experience. Dick Cheney has been handling a gun from almost from when the time he got out his mama's womb. How'd that work out for the 78-year-old man who's in intensive care, just got out of intensive care, with pellets in his face for the rest of his life? How'd all that training of Dick Cheney's work out for him? It's just one more sad statistic. And it shows you that having respect for guns, not enough to overcome the inherent hazards of firearms. Mr. Whittington is now just one more sad statistic in America's annual gun toll, 252,000 Americans. Since George Bush came into office, have been shot and wounded by firearms. 252,000. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Guns don't shoot people. Vice presidents do. Vice presidents do. Whoo! 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Carol, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I wanted to comment on that gun issue also.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I do believe, yeah. You're right. You're totally right about, you know, the handling of the gun with Cheney. And I think there was a representative that was from Houston, Texas, Tom. I'm not sure. I can't remember his last name. It's kind of early in the morning. He's from Sugarland, Texas.
Okay.
He was also behind the issue about the gun law or something like that. I think he changed his position on it. And for some reason now, all of a sudden, he's, you know, up on so-called charges for, you know, campaign contributions. Were you aware of that?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I can't really remember his last name, but he's a representative, like I said, from Sugarland, from Houston, Texas, and it's an ongoing little court battle. But anyway, his position is the same with the gun issues also, and this came up this year.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right, Carol. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. Lawrence, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
Yes.
Anybody for a hunt trip with Dick Cheney?
Duck. That's all I can say is duck.
It's amazing. Not really funny. I guess the guy living in the hospital, you know, not that funny to him to get shot in the face by an idiot. Can you imagine going on an excursion and your buddy shoots you?
That's what I'm saying. It's awful. And then he lied about it. And then he didn't report it. He didn't have his license. He didn't report it. He ran from it, and he hid from it.
What do you think would happen to a normal citizen if they have a serious accident like that and they don't have proper license?
Oh, that's right.
They would do a little jail time, wouldn't they?
Well, not necessarily. No, this is something that, no, they wouldn't do any jail time. They would get cited. And Dick Cheney has gotten cited for it. So, no, I mean, but what I think the bigger issue is that the guy that sits in the vice president's office, his instinct was to run, not say anything, and try to hide from this. He was at an event, a UN event yesterday, and he ran from the reporters.
Yeah.
So that's the issue.
Like a metaphor for just being totally reckless. I mean, if you just kind of overlay this ready, shoot, aim mentality, you know, you can kind of just cast that over just about everything he does, especially in his attitude towards foreign policy.
That's what
Let's
I'm talking
do
about.
Do it, and then we'll deal with the consequences later.
That's right. Ready, aim, fire. Thanks
yeah,
for
ready,
your call.
Ready, shoot, aim.
Yeah, ready, shoot, aim. All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, Liz. Good morning. This is Madeline Coburn. I wanted to call to ask you. I heard a lady on your broadcast yesterday. I think her name was Marjorita George from ProVote.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
You can go to my website and get the information on her.
Okay, please.
LizBrown.com.
Okay, thank you.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, so Dick Cheney did not have his permit, his hunting permit?
He didn't have an additional. There are two different permits that you have to have. If you're hunting quail, you have to have your regular license, and then you have to have an additional sticker to shoot quail, a $7 sticker.
Yeah, so that means that he was not prepared to do that, so that means he should be cited. Now, let me ask you this. Was that considered as a crime? Now, in Texas, they claim that was not a crime, that you could shoot somebody in a hunting accident and then have to report it.
That's what they're saying. I don't know if that is so.
That's unbelievable. Right?
Let's go in the direction that they want to go. That you don't have to report it. You are the doggone Vice President of the United States. You shot somebody. You need to report that to the American people. I don't care if the law says you can shoot, kill him, and bury him 60 feet deep and not have to tell the police. You're supposed to, you were hired and you're paid for by us. You're supposed to tell us. You're the Vice President of the United States.
Oh, I agree. I do not understand. I don't understand the Texas laws and they don't execute people and do all these other things. But you shoot somebody with a firearm and you don't have to report it. I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't see why the Democrats are not all over that, because I'm telling you, that just seems to be stupid to me, especially in Texas, where they're just doing everything against minorities and other people. But when it comes to the rich and the powerful on private land, you can shoot somebody and don't have to report it.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454. Scott McClellan said that Dick Cheney had a valid hunting license, but he didn't have an upland game bird stamp. He didn't have an upland game bird stamp. 454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get to me. Roy.
Yeah, Liz.
Hey, Roy.
How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding.
All right. Mr. Cheney didn't have no license, huh?
No, he didn't.
Well, ain't that supposed to be a crime?
One would think that it would be a crime, but they can cite you for that as opposed to put you in jail for that.
Well, what does it take to get him impeached? Is there any kind of crime to get him impeached? Or just had to be a certain kind of felony or something?
There are certain types of crimes. Shooting without a shooting quail without a license is not one of them, though. That's not an impeachment.
Shooting a human being is, though, right?
Accident? I don't think so.
There was no accident, Liz.
But I'm just saying we have to prove that it wasn't an accident. If it's proven it's not an accident, sure, we can get him out.
Why can't we hear what the victim had to say? We ain't never heard what he had to say.
Because he's just got out of intensive care.
Well, he got out of intensive care last night.
Uh-huh.
Well, wasn't they talking to him this morning? Didn't they talk to him this morning?
Again, I don't know. It's one of those crimes where the witnesses to it have to come forward. And if they're not coming forward, then who's going to say?
Yeah, that's true, but
who's going to say?
I imagine they had some kind of disagreement. He was probably threatening to sell something he wasn't supposed to sell.
Oh, he was drunk. I mean, there are a couple of scenarios.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he could have been drunk out there.
Well, Cheney had been known to be a scratch man.
Yeah. Yeah, and what was he ran like he was drunk. He ran like a drunk driver from the scene.
But one of the safeties of hunting is you don't go and get intoxicated and go hunting and handling no gun hunting. Intoxication don't work well with a gun.
Well, clearly.
Yeah. So if he was going to be safe and going to obey any of the rules, he wouldn't have got drunk and went hunting.
Again, what was the last thing that you said? Obey what?
The rules.
Obey what?
The safety rules.
This administration doing what?
Yeah, they don't obey nothing.
That's what I'm talking about.
They took lying to a new level.
A whole new level.
I ain't never seen such a lie.
The truth ain't in them. The truth ain't in them. Thanks, Roy.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to him. The condition of Whittington. He's an attorney from Austin, Texas. He was hit with as many as 20 pellets. No, 200 bird pellets. I'm sorry. 200 bird shot pellets in his face, his neck, and his upper torso. Doctors removed many of the pellets but planned to leave many alone. And he wouldn't answer questions from the news media. Huh. Kennedy County Sheriff's spokeswoman Sandra Guzman said that the police report was pending in the hunting accident, a process that takes several days. Texas hunters reported 30 hunting accidents with injuries, including two fatalities in 2005. Huh. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Tawana.
Yes, this is just a comment. What I was thinking was, let me tap the vice president's phone, because I think what really happened was maybe he was letting him know where Bin Laden was so they can get him. So can I tap his phone now to see if we have that conversation?
There you go. There
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. David, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Yeah, this is a real strange case, and I don't know if... well, yesterday I sent you an email that listed it was something like Cheney shooting background, and it talked about this Whittington as a politician, someone of interest in... I believe he's from Austin.
That's correct.
And, yeah, he's a political leader down there, and he's a real estate developer. And essentially, they showed a photograph of the building that he owns down in Austin. It's like a, I don't know, 15-story building that's massive. And so he's a multimillionaire. I've even heard him declared a billionaire by one of the networks. And so he's a very wealthy, politically in touch guy down in Texas. And he also is notorious, or has notoriety, maybe, don't want to put an onus on it, because he apparently has been protective of the mentally handicapped in prisons.
That's right.
And I think there was also an instance where he was trying to protect prisoner rights. He's on the parole board or a prison reform board in Texas. And
that's because one of his daughters is mentally ill, I mean mentally retarded. So he's been involved in that, absolutely. And also one of the things that he did was he accused prison officials of lying during the one particular case. And one of the lies that he said were the prison officials' denial that inmates were being used as guards. And he quoted, in terms of human suffering and the waste of taxpayers' dollars, this has been one of the worst crimes in Texas history, and no one is being prosecuted. So he was critical of, and he was critical of the state's treatment of mentally retarded inmates.
Yeah, and actually, that was at the time Bush...
that was in 79.
Yeah, well, when Bush was governor, wasn't he, didn't he have a mentally retarded guy executed? And this probably, I think he was probably appointed in 79 and then left office probably in the 80s or so. But it would seem to me that that there was a point where he and Bush the Jr. Intersected because of some of these prison rights issues.
In 1999, Bush named him to the chairman of the Funeral Service Commission.
Yeah. Now, that was another odd one. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but before World War II actually got into a shooting war, I think it was like 1936 or 7, the funeral industry here in America made a huge lobbying effort to Congress demanding that all troops that were killed overseas be brought to America to be buried. So this was a huge, I don't want to say it was a boondoggle, but it was a huge... income stream for the funeral industry. And now Texas is one of the, if they aren't the largest contingent of National Guard that are getting killed over there. And so if he's on that funeral board, there's maybe something interesting that that might be, you know, if the guy has got a propensity to exposing stuff or taking in, taking part in scandals. But they, just in the overall picture, there have been calls now for Cheney to resign. And one of the reasons for it go all the way back to Rome. Caligula was one of the Caesars, Caesar Caligula. And Caligula was only in there, if I understand right, for like 3 months. But he was executed because he was just so depraved. The centurions just ganged up on him and just slaughtered him right in the main square. But one of the things that he did was to declare himself God. And then the Senate, anyone in the Senate that opposed him, he just had them dragged out of the Senate and executed right then and there. He declared that he wanted a palace built to himself, and I think it was almost the land square area of San Francisco, which is 49 square miles.
And we have about 10 seconds left.
Well, sure. Well, anyway, he declared that the Senate's wives and daughters be put into prostitution in order to pay for this palace. And he had people executed in this way. So the idea of just starting on a killing spree and getting away with it is the issue.
All right. Thanks,
have a good
Dave. All right. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me.
And it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, and you can hear it if you try. And it's growing stronger with every day that passes by. Yeah.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Illinois Lottery. Westbound 64 between Kings Highway and 25th. Look for an incident been cleared, but there may be some backup. Southbound 270 between Page. Look for an accident that's been cleared there as well. Eastbound 40 between Ballas. There's an accident cleared, and traffic is starting to thin up. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and River De Pere. No problems reported. Eastbound 44 from 141 all the way to Merrimack River Bridge. Looks good. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Saffington and Marshall. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 from West Florissant and 170. Look for delays there. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley. You've got slow traffic. And eastbound 70 at Earth City Expressway all the way into St. Charles Rock Road. There's some traffic congestion, but it's been cleared. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. Look for delays. And westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. It's slow traffic. Westbound 64 at the 5570 merge all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Those ramps are looking good. And westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, you can expect some slight delays. Old Halls Ferry at Lindbergh, look for an accident been cleared. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash, 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to sunny skies with a breezy and a high around 55 this evening. Partly cloudy with a low around 40 for Wednesday. Increasing clouds, a shower is possible in the afternoon with a high around 55. For Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy. Once again, another chance for rain with a low around 45. And Thursday, cloudy skies, a high around 55. There's a chance for an afternoon shower. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
We've found another good old boy network at work inside FEMA. And it's a major reason why the people of New Orleans had no chance to get any meaningful help after Hurricane Katrina. Former FEMA director Joe Alabaugh and the man he selected as his replacement, Michael Brown, knew nothing about dealing with disasters, and associates described both of them as being ethically challenged. So how did they get their jobs? Another fascinating story you will only hear on The Wake Up Call with investigative journalist Russ Baker, coming up Thursday at 9 with Liz Brown.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues in the African American History Series.
on Saturday, February 18th at 12 noon at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park. Explore the historical relationships between various racial and ethnic groups in St. Louis by taking part in the guided Missouri History Museum tour, St. Louis in Black and White. After the tour, celebrate the life of late civil rights pioneer Rosa Parks in the dramatic play Rosa Parks and the Montgomery Bus Boycott, performance at 2 p.m. Tickets are $5 per person for the general public and $3 per person for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Call 361-9017 or go to www.mohistory.org.
The hallmark of any successful business is growth, and the lack of it is the main reason why small businesses fail. That's why you can't afford not to advertise, because getting the word out about your business brings you new customers. And there's no more effective and affordable means of reaching those new customers than with WGNU Radio. Call our sales manager, Brian Kay, during regular business hours at 314-454-6660. He'll be glad to show you how WGNU can help your business grow and succeed.
Do you take Tylenol or other medications containing acetaminophen to help alleviate pain? Did you know you could be running the risk of damaging your liver by overusing this popular pain reliever? We have some eye-opening information on this issue Wednesday morning at 9 with a couple of representatives from the American Pain Society. It's another one of our Can't Miss This One programs, Wednesday at 9, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. And I really think that it's important not to miss the point. I think it's critical that we don't miss the point with this Cheney shooting story. And because there is an energy that is percolating through the Republican Party. They're scared. And they're mad as H-E double toothpicks at George W. Bush. And they see their party on the brink of disaster. And what's so fascinating is that it would be one thing if the disaster that the Republican Party is headed towards was being pushed by Democrats, because then they could just take on Democrats. But that is not what is happening. What is happening is that they're being pushed over the brink by their fellow Republicans. At a meeting, and this is really huge, and I do want to repeat this. Commentator Jonah Goldberg, angry at Bush because Bush is piling up record deficits and he's boosted the size of government, has written in his own words, "Bush is spending money like a pimp with a week to live." And how do you measure the feel of the Republican Party? How do you measure where their anger is? How do you measure what's in their heads and what's in their conservative hearts? Go to the annual Conservative Political Action Conference, the CPAC. Thousands of conservative Republicans attend this. And most of the time they spend it making fun of liberals. Saying that liberalism is a dirty word. This year, the dirty words were George W. Bush. They painted him as a, and these are his own people. This is what's happening within the ranks of his own people. And you know what's going to be the issue, I suspect, that's going to tear this party apart, tear the Republican Party apart? The issue of immigration. The issue of immigration. There's a battle line, and there's a battle line being drawn between the rich mucky mucks and the grassroots. The grassroots within the Republican Party have a great hostility towards Bush's guest worker plan. Now, all the boys that make the money are happy with it. How was this defined at this annual conservative meeting? Check this out. Representative Tom Tancredo was at the event. He showed up like a rock star. He's a Colorado Republican who flaunts his rebel status. In 2002, he said, and I quote, "If terrorists attack America after slipping across the unsecured border, the blood of the people killed will be on this administration." A remark that caused Karl Rove to call him up and chew him out and call him a traitor. Well, he was a rock star. Tancredo was a rock star this week. He triggered howls of appreciation when he said that on immigration, quote, "It is the president, not Tom Tancredo, who is out of step with his party." He said that to Republicans, and he got howls of appreciation. Howls of appreciation. And then imagine this. Imagine being in this position on the lineup, on the guest lineup. Randall Johnson followed Tancredo after Tancredo finished speaking, and people were standing in the aisles clapping when he said, "It is the president who is out of step with the party." And thousands of Republicans said, "Right on." But when Randall Johnson stepped up, he wasn't one of the people that was in appreciation of this. He was a senior U.S. Chamber of Commerce official. He took the podium and said, and looking like he had just been punched in the face. Looking like he had just been punched in the face. He said, "Look, I'm a lifetime Republican. I've worked in the Reagan administration. I worked in Capitol Hill. We hate to see a split like this in the Republican Party." And the audience was completely silent. Completely silent. And it's not just that issue. There's a big conservative faction that thinks that Bush is wrong for believing he can bring peaceful democracy to Iraq. And what do they use as his evidence? The Palestinians choosing Hamas, democratically electing Hamas. There's a conservative faction that believes that Bush is wrong to conduct warrantless surveillance on Americans. Bob Barr, who led the early fight for Clinton's impeachment, said that the Bush plan violated federal law. And argue that, quote, we cannot allow our convictions to be dimmed or tarnished or confused by the fog of war. That's from his own people. There's a big conservative faction that is scared to death about Abramoff. And maybe most importantly, there is a huge outcry over Bush's big spending and his record deficits. Even Grover Norquist, one of the top architects, conservative architects in Washington, points out that Bush's non-defense spending has outpaced Clinton's, and that this issue could demoralize conservatives on Election Day. That's what Grover Norquist said. He said the troubles of 2005 could snowball to a disastrous proportions in 2006. You think? Those are what his friends have to say about him. That's what his friends have to say about him. So what are the Democrats going to do? And when he had his own closed little, when George Bush had his own closed meeting with his rank and file of Republican House members, he said, "Don't lose your nerve. I'm not going to lose mine." And they're like, "You don't have to go out there and get reelected. You have term limits. I don't." Ain't that some stuff? Huh. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609. And this is a typical George Bushism. The White House aides had arranged for a few minutes of the session to be open to reporters. And George Bush said, and this is typical. He said that I support the free press. Let's just get them out of the room. If that ain't George Bush, I don't know who is. Dave.
Yes. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, I don't know if I've been watching this these hearings, and I also watched the hearing on the Attorney General. And it seems like to me, from looking at all these hearings, that not only as the Bush administration, when it came to Katrina, was inept, the Attorney General telling the Congress that, hey, we interpreted it this way. If you don't like the way we interpret the Constitution, whatever we way we say we interpret the Constitution, that's the way it's going to go.
That's right. And he wasn't under oath. Yeah. And he wasn't under oath. We're taking a break, folks. This is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. You need to get to me. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax.
I don't know what to say to you.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by
Alliance Financial Group. How do the rich get rich? Let Alliance Financial Group show you how. Call 381-8967.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. Another interesting aspect to the Valerie Plame story has erupted. Plame was the CIA operative whose identity was leaked to the news media by Vice President Dick Cheney's chief of staff, Louis Scooter Libby. He's now been indicted for that. Plame was part of an operations looking into the distribution and acquisition of weapons of mass destruction technology into and out of Iran. Intelligence sources say Plame was involved in keeping watch on the nuclear black market, which was supplied by Pakistani researcher A.Q. Khan, and was monitoring whether Iran was in possession of such technology and weaponry. This leads to the conclusion that the disclosure of her identity damaged national security to such an extent that the U.S. now no longer knows just how much nuclear capability Iran actually has. It has also been made clear that a report by Plame's husband, former Ambassador Joseph Wilson, that talked about Iraq communicating with the country of Niger for the purchase of yellowcake uranium, actually referred to Iran and not Iraq. Wilson's report said that it was Iran that wanted to buy about 500 tons of the stuff. For some reason, the word Iraq was substituted for Iran in the report by the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. It also says that a delegation from Iran tried to buy the yellow cake from Niger back in 1998, but apparently no contract was ever entered into. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you by Alliance Financial Group, 381-8967.
Would you like to earn $500 to $2,500 a month? Have you been turned down for a real estate loan because of bad or poor credit? Would you like to invest in real estate but you don't know how to get started? All you need is the right strategy. Let Alliance Financial Group show you how with a free financial presentation this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Airport Hilton Hotel. Seating is limited, so call 381-8967. 381-8967.
We've found another good old boy network at work inside FEMA. And it's a major reason why the people of New Orleans had no chance to get any meaningful help after Hurricane Katrina. Former FEMA Director Joe Alabaugh and the man he selected as his replacement, Michael Brown, knew nothing about dealing with disasters, and associates described both of them as being ethically challenged. So how did they get their jobs? Another fascinating story you will only hear on The Wake Up Call with investigative journalist Russ Baker, coming up Thursday at 9 with Liz Brown.
Are those wedding bells I'm hearing? You know what that means. No, not Valentine's Day. It's the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review at St. Clair Square, February 18th and 19th. Whether you're planning an entire wedding or just looking for ideas for your wedding planner, the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review is the place to be. Bridal Fest will have vendors and exhibitors from all areas of the bridal and party industry. See the latest fashions while you explore a variety of displays that are sure to inspire. Take a break in the center court and enjoy the music from Night Magic Entertainment. Don't forget to stop by the Bridal Registry, sign up for the mailing list, and pick up your Bridal Fest bingo card. Fill in the spaces and you could win one of thousands of dollars and prizes to be given away all weekend long. That's the St. Clair Bridal Fest, February 18th and 19th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored by Pandy Cakes, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production. Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
Hello, this is Pastor Aria Williams of the Oil of God Ministries, located at 4300 Gaino, right here in St. Louis, inviting you to join me every Saturday morning at 6:30 to start your weekend with something old and something new. We bring you a mixture of old school gospel plus the latest sounds, as well as church calendar news and a word from God to help you be empowered and victorious in Christ. Every Saturday morning at 6:30 here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning morning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion. And you know,
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. And we are streamed every day at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Get to me. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you. I was wondering if you could help me understand. Last night on Lou Dobbs, I know what you said about him about the borders, but he said that the Bush administration had signed a contract for Saudi Arabia to have one of our greatest own and operate the shipping port out of California for all of the incoming goods. And if they're on under sanctions and accused of being terrorists, why would he sign a contract with them? That just doesn't make any sense, and it didn't make any sense to him.
It doesn't make any sense to me either. This administration is doing things that just are really blow your mind.
That's mind-boggling.
Yes, it is.
I mean, they're going to open the port to the so-called terrorists and give them free rights to ship anything in and out.
Well, no, I'm not going to paint all the people from Saudi Arabia as terrorists, but I mean
under their definition of terrorism.
I guess my point is that shouldn't we have control of the borders? Shouldn't American companies, American businesses? Now, that's no guarantee that they are not trying to do harm, because there have been plenty of people that look like you and me that have been killed by American terrorists. So, but fundamentally, basically, at the beginning, our borders, our harbors should be under the control of us.
Exactly. So I didn't understand that one either. And then, I just thought I'd ask you about that.
All right. Thank you, Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's do something nice. Let's do another Valentine's wish out here.
This is a Valentine's Day message to someone special from Liz Brown and The Wake Up Call.
Shannon, I was there the day that you were born, and I will never forget how you came into the world. You had your eyes wide open and a smile on your face. I knew then that you were going to be something special, and you are. Your love of life inspires me, your fearlessness amazes me, and your wisdom humbles me. You are the best thing that I have ever done in my life. And I want you to know one thing, and if you don't know anything else in the world, know that your daddy loves you, past his heart.
Happy Valentine's Day from Liz Brown and The Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to The Wake Up Call. This is Tim.
Yeah, Liz?
Yes?
Yeah, I was wondering if you could use your ability to get a representative from the United States Commerce Department to come in and explain the rationale of bringing all of these people that aren't even citizens, and they're supposedly from friendly Asian nations and Indians that man these brand new convenience stores, and they're in our area.
Okay, you know? I will do that. Thank you very much. Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You know what? I'm one of those people that think the Democrats will probably sneak back into power, even win the presidency.
Slump back into power?
I just said sneak back in.
And I said slump.
Slump, right. Yeah, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you. And you know what black males will get out of that? What they going to deal with poverty? You know how they deal with poverty?
But wait a minute. What are black males?
What will black males get out of a Democrat winning?
The same thing that black females will?
The same thing. Nothing. They're going to, you know how they deal with poverty? They're going to build prisons. That's how they're going to build prisons and beef up the police department.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of building colleges, industry within the cities. So, you know, it amazes me when black people, when I saw that Coretta Scott King funeral, they love Jimmy Carter. You know, they love, and Bill Clinton, they just love Bill Clinton, not Jimmy Carter. They love Bill Clinton, and I don't understand why we love Bill Clinton.
Well, I don't think it's a categorical we. I think, like, when you go to places like blackcommentator.com, when you go to a lot of black websites out there, there are many people that have clarity on that issue. And I think once people are told the truth about the accuracy, the reason I don't feel that way about Bill Clinton is because I'm educated, and because I'm informed, and I have made myself informed. It wasn't anything that came easy to me. I had to go dig and find this stuff out, and the people are the recipients of a big con job.
But you know what, Liz? I understand you're very educated, you know, and I think I'm pretty informed myself. But I didn't have to be informed to look to the right and left of me, and see. Oh, I'm 44 now. All my friends in prison. You know, people that I grew up as a child, you know, they weren't bad people, but I saw them for years not being able to get employed. Some even went to college and couldn't get employed, or either they were underemployed. And then all of a sudden they got into this criminal system, you know, because there were no jobs, or they were being discriminated. There's jobs in America. It's discrimination.
I understand that. I understand.
And the Democrats don't entertain that. They got to deal with that EEO law.
All right. I got to roll, Kevin.
All right, bye.
Thanks for your call. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I'm going to speak as a member of the administration because I can think like them now. And here's what I've got to have to say, if you don't mind. I don't want to win the war in Iraq. I want to keep the war going at the same level of conflict as it is now. It's easy for me to order 40,000 troops from Korea and Taiwan, and I could win the war in a week, but I don't want to do that. The reason is, if I win the war, I'm going to have to bring all the soldiers back from the Middle East. And without American presence in the Middle East, it leaves Israel high and dry. And as you know, the president of Iran said that the problem in the Middle East is Israel. So I think we have to kind of keep the conflict going and boiling subsurface so that we can stay there for another 10 years And the...
Okay, you're right, and I got it rolled.
Okay.
Right. All right, thanks for that observation. Paul Hackett, who I love. He wasn't scared of anybody. He was a veteran from Iraq that was running for the Ohio Senate. He's quit the race, saying that he was pressured by Democratic leaders to get out of the race. You know what? You know what? Oh! I gotta go, cuss. This is outrageous. We're gonna have to get him on the show. I want to hear it from him.
I will never say the progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alvinger.
The buck stops for the president, I think.
It's due out this week, a scathing report by a House committee on the federal government's response to Hurricane Katrina. Connecticut Republican Chris Shays is on the panel. And while it comes down on the White House, it comes down on others, too.
The White House was clearly in a fog. Chertoff, the head of Homeland Security, was totally detached. He didn't even go to New Orleans until the president on Wednesday. And then you had, obviously, Mr. Brown, who was clueless and negligent.
That report is due out tomorrow. There was a brief scare at the Capitol this morning. Part of the building was cleared out momentarily when a suspicious vehicle pulled up to the gates of the building. The vehicle was quickly cleared. Everyone allowed back in. Some good news for Dick Cheney. He won't be charged in last weekend's hunting accident in which he shot a friend. But the vice president did get a warning from the state. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
The Texas Parks and Wildlife Department has finished its investigation into Harry Whittington's shooting during a South Texas hunting trip, finding that what it terms a hunter's judgment factor was behind the accident. Whittington didn't warn his fellow hunters as he approached, and Vice President Cheney was focused on the bird in his sights. Cheney and Whittington both had current hunting licenses, but the state has warned both men for not having the $7 stamp that's required for hunting upland game birds. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Corpus Christi, Texas.
A sign that life is returning to normal in New Orleans.
It took almost 6 months, and today about a third of Tulane University Hospital will reopen, giving New Orleans its first emergency room in the heart of the city since Hurricane Katrina. With Mardi Gras celebrations beginning, Dr. Doug Slakey says demand on the hospital will be huge.
We're actually concerned that we may be overwhelmed, and we've spent a tremendous amount of time looking at staffing.
Until now, the only available medical care has been in clinics and field hospitals. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Retail sales are up over 2%, the biggest jump in 6 years. Dow and NASDAQ both up and early going. This is ABC News.
What better way to celebrate President's Day than with a classic? At Kohl's President's Day sale, we're introducing Chaps for Her and Chaps for Boys, only at Kohl's. Starting this Wednesday, take 30% off all Chaps for Her, Chaps for Boys, and Chaps for Men. Plus, get big savings on all family athletic shoes. And take 40 to 50% off solid bath towels and sheet sets. And 10 to 50% off all kitchen electrics. At Kohl's President's Day sale, starting this Wednesday at 8 a.m. Kohl's. Expect great things.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence in dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-500-2001. That's 1-800-500-2001. 1-800-500-2001.
We've just gotten word that the man Vice President Cheney accidentally shot while on a hunting trip over the weekend. Austin attorney Harry Whittington of Texas is now back in intensive care. Aside from that, details are very sketchy right now. He has been in a hospital in Corpus Christi since the incident. We are expected to get more details at a news conference scheduled for noon Central Time. We'll bring you the details as we get them. Well, usually they're competitors, but American snowboarders Hannah Teeter and Gretchen Bleiler are more like sisters today. They won the gold and the silver in the women's halfpipe, a snowboarding event at the Winter Games in Torino.
It's an amazing roller coaster, and the Olympics, it's just been an amazing experience so far. And Yesterday was unbelievable.
Was it yesterday?
Was it yesterday?
It was
like
yesterday.
A week ago.
Oh, that was mostly Gretchen you heard there. Hannah jumped in as well. Checking the medal count so far, 6 medals for Team USA in Torino, 4 of them gold. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Here's another WGNU News update. This report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. Gas prices in the St. Louis area, parts of the St. Louis area anyway, are below the $2 mark. Julie Neiman, an analyst for R.T. Jones Capital Equity, says the price decrease is only temporary, though.
If there's any kind of drawdown, and you would get that with warmer weather, then we'll see prices starting to tick up again. But right at this point, refineries have all the gasoline they need, and they're getting everything out pretty much on a demand situation.
Neiman credits the current price dip to the fact there are fewer people driving this time of year, and heating bills are down from last year also. In Overland, charges are pending against a man in connection with a police standoff. Police say the incident began early yesterday morning after the 37-year-old suspect allegedly assaulted his pregnant girlfriend at their home in the 2800 block of Pasteur. Overland Police Chief James Herron says he's relieved the situation ended without anyone getting hurt.
We have a system, and we use it. The officers followed the procedure correctly. This is a reason we use the SWAT team and evacuate residences and block off streets. It sometimes appears to the untrained eye that this is a lot more unnecessary than the situation would call for, but we would rather be prepared.
Police received initial reports the suspect had shot himself in the leg, but they found him unharmed when they entered the home. They also found a loaded handgun in the home. An innocent motorist is dead and his wife is seriously injured after a collision with suspects fleeing from police. Officers approached the suspect driver and two passengers at a stoplight around 6:30 yesterday evening after seeing the suspects driving erratically when one of the suspects allegedly pointed a gun at the officers. Police report one of the passengers, in fact, fired at them during the ensuing chase. The suspects continued fleeing after a less serious accident before the fatal head-on collision at Broadway and Schiller. All three suspects were arrested and taken to the hospital. The victim's name has not been released. His wife remains hospitalized. And a Scott Air Force Base airman accused of shaking his infant daughter is now charged with her murder. Senior Airman George Norris is facing a first-degree murder charge in the death of the baby girl. The infant, less than a month old, died Saturday morning at a St. Louis hospital. Investigators claim they found signs of shaken baby syndrome. Norris is being held in the St. Clair County Jail on $1 million bond. That's WGNU News, brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Moore. This hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Ellsworth Diamonds. Eastbound 255 at Jefferson Barracks Bridge. Look for road marking operations having the left lane closed. Northbound 270 at Gravelway and 44. That traffic congestion is back to normal. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley. Slow traffic. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 40 between the Boone Bridge. Look for road maintenance operations. Left lane is closed. Dunn Road at West Florissant. There's a report of an accident. East 16th Street at Albee. There's a report of an injury accident. That's up in Alton, Illinois. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Ellsberg Diamonds. Today is Valentine's Day. If you don't have a gift for her already, don't panic. You can make it sparkle with a gift from Ellsberg Diamonds. Visit Ellsberg.com for a store near you. Ellsberg Diamonds, moments that sparkle. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly sunny, breezy, not quite as cool. A high around 55 this evening, partly cloudy with a low around 40. For Wednesday, increasing cloudiness, a shower possible in the afternoon with a high around 55. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, another chance of rain with a low around 45. Then on Thursday, cloudy skies, high around 55. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 36 degrees. Lambert
Field is reporting clear skies and 36 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up and get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. This hour, we are joined by a freelance investigative journalist, Anthony Fenton. Anthony is going to be talking to us this morning about a couple of things. But we're going to start off with Haiti. I think it's just like what's going on in Haiti is just like what went on in Florida in the 2000 elections. They're still counting the votes. We still don't know who the winner is. And we need to talk about that. What is at stake for the Haitian people? Is this an election that is valid? More than 30 candidates running for president on February 7th. And this is the first election since President Jean Bertrand Aristide was ousted by our government. We need to talk about this. So let's get to it. Anthony Fenton is joining us from Vancouver. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Very good. I'm reading reports that people died during the election, that that people stormed the voting centers that failed to open, and one person died of a heart attack, another of asphyxia. Is this a legitimate election in any sense of the form of the word?
That's a loaded question, but, you know, the day of the elections, most of the reporting was overwhelmingly characterized by euphoria that indeed Haitian people, despite the almost two-year military occupation that has systematically targeted supporters of Jean-Bertrand Aristide and put a number of them in prison, forced thousands into exile, killed who knows how many. Despite all this, the Haitian people turned out en masse to cast their ballots for primarily, and as exit polls revealed, for René Préval, who is a clear front runner in the elections. He's another former Haitian president. But there were problems. Yeah, people got to the polls. A colleague of mine was in Haiti, in Cité Soleil, the largest slum and poorest slum there. And she said that it took 2 hours. People were standing there outside the would-be polling center, and they waited for 2 hours before it even opened. In fact, in Cité Soleil, the UN forces and the people organizing the elections said that we're not even going to put polling centers inside Cité Soleil. People are going to have to walk outside the neighborhood in order to cast their ballots. And Haitian people, despite all these challenges, they did vote en masse. And over the last week, as the results have trickled out gradually, as I said, there's this euphoria that said, oh, René Préval won by 60%, everyone agrees. Well, gradually, this got chipped away to the point where certain forces in Haiti, and including a think tank from Washington called the Haiti Democracy Project, who sent down an observation team, including somebody from the Department of Defense, they said, oh, hold on, everybody, there still might be a runoff election needed here.
And explain that, because there's a runoff under certain circumstances in Haiti.
Right. Now, in order for to avoid a runoff, the front runner has to get 50% plus one vote. And right now, today, I'm looking at the website of the CEP, which is the Provisional Electoral Council. It says that René Préval has 48.76% of the vote, and that the second-place runner has 11.83%. His name's Leslie Manigat. He's also a former president who was installed by a military regime in the late 1980s. So basically, yesterday, in response to this, because this sub-50% vote has been circulating for a few days now, throngs, tens of thousands of people took to the streets yesterday. The images are online, and people can see this literal sea of people who not only took to the streets demanding the results, but demanding that their president that they chose be appointed. That's René Préval. Haitian people even went to Haiti's most posh hotel, where all the plans for political intervention and these elections are hatched. It's called the Hotel Montana. This is where all the big reporters go down and file their stories from in Haiti. Well, they went and they occupied that hotel yesterday.
We didn't hear that anywhere on the news.
No, exactly.
I mean, how could something like... Well, I'm not asking that question, but the fact of the matter is it was nowhere on the news.
Right. You see, like, mild disturbances, but you don't see the extent of the opposition to this, and the popular mobilization as part of the opposition. You don't see that reflected in the media, of course.
And talk to us about some of the 30-odd candidates that were in this race, and who are the backers for some of them.
Well, let's just put it this way. The second-place runner, and out of the remaining, say, top 15, there is an agreement that was signed by 8 of these people in November that said, whichever one of us comes in second place, the rest of us will back that person in a runoff vote.
Mm.
But when you total up the number of votes, the total number of percentage between these 8, you actually come to a fairly respectable 37% behind René Préval's assumed 48%. And these people all are comprised of the former opposition to Aristide, the Group of 184, or the Democratic Convergence. These are the organizations that receive funding from the Canadian, U.S., and European governments to build an opposition to Aristide and to agitate for his overthrow before the coup d'etat in 2004. Today, we know, for example, the third-place candidate, Charles Henry Baker, he was the only white man running in these for Haiti's president. He has a close relationship with the National Endowment for Democracy and the International Republican Institute, two key conduits for U.S. foreign policy interventions worldwide. We know the role they, for example, played in helping to foment the coup in 2002 against President Chavez and the role they continue to play there. But they have been sinking a lot of money, a lot of resources into not only Charles Baker in particular, but most of these political parties that are affiliated with Haiti's right wing. They've been the ones receiving all the attention. They've been giving them radio spots so they can advertise. They've been giving them T-shirts and pamphlets and TV advertisements for all these political parties except for the party of René Préval and except for the party of overthrown President Jean-Bertrand Aristide.
Is this a surprise to those that would support Charles Baker? Are the election results a surprise?
They shouldn't be. You know,
I know they shouldn't be, but were they? I mean, Hamas shouldn't have been a surprise.
Right. I think the supporters of Charles Baker would be surprised because, in fact, I got an email just a couple of weeks ago. It was a poll taken by a National Endowment for Democracy grantee in Haiti, and it said among university students, both Charles Baker and Leslie Manigat enjoyed a huge lead over René Préval. So I guess they would be very surprised.
And how does this play into the intentions of that this country, that Canada, that France has on Haiti if Préval wins?
Well, if Préval wins, there's a chance that he might actually rule as president in the interest of Haiti's poor. Now, this would fly in the face of the World Bank and structural adjustment programs and the plans that the foreign powers have for Haiti, which will have them better incorporated into the neoliberal paradise that they envision for the rest of the world. So it's not clear yet, though, because the other thing that's being omitted from all of the coverage of this presidential election is the fact that these weren't only presidential elections, they were legislative elections. They were, on February 7th, Haitians voted for 30 senators and 99 deputies. And it's this legislature that's going to choose Haiti's next prime minister. And it's the candidates running for these positions that receive most of the funding from these foreign powers. So, if, for example, if all of these other political parties affiliated with the right wing were to get a majority in legislature, then Préval might very well be powerless to appoint the next prime minister, and the next prime minister might very well be somebody from the right wing and somebody who's going to carry out these neoliberal plans for the foreigners and for Haiti's elite.
Well, what do the counts look like? Who's tracking the election of the senators?
They are nowhere to be found.
Now, when people voted in Haiti, did they vote on slates or did they vote individually for their for Préval and his slate? How did that work?
Well, Préval's party was called L'Espoir.
And that's the hope.
Yeah, it was a loose coalition of already existing parties. And I believe they ran a full slate of senators and a full slate of deputies. So I would assume that many voters would have just voted for the L'Espoir candidate. But I know that there are some areas where L'Espoir didn't even run anyone. But on the ballots themselves, I don't know. But you know what I do know about the ballots is that the contract to print them was given to one of the arch enemies of Aristide, a man by the name of Reginald Bulos. This is a guy who owns newspapers, radio stations. He owns car dealerships. He helped support paramilitary organization during the first coup d'etat against Aristide, and he is a good friend of Washington. Well, this guy is the one who got to print the ballots, so I've been a little worried about those ballots ever since I heard that.
It's like Jeb Bush printing the ballots for the election in Florida.
Basically.
So when people went out and voted on Election Day, and they turned out, they also had to do something different than they've had to do in other elections, and that was carry these little cards, right? They had to have these little ID cards.
Right. Well, I don't even think these ID cards were fully distributed, but what they had to do in order to get these cards was subject themselves to biometric identification. So they had to get their fingerprints and their photographs and their signatures scanned into a database.
Stop it.
That was then sent to Mexico, and that was then sent back in the form of this ID card.
Stop it. So there's this database of all of these Haitian people somewhere.
Well, apparently it's been handled with great security. And
yeah.
But, you know, the Canadian government has been financing, because these national ID cards only went to people of voting age, well, they're like, well, we need to have everybody cataloged. So they've been financing studies into how they can get extend this to the entire population vis-a-vis a birth certificate. So there are plans in the long term to have not only Haiti, but I think all third world countries in the hemisphere database and cataloged for, you know, this new secure world that the Bush administration is working on with his key allies, such as Canada. So it's disturbing stuff.
It's very disturbing. Now explain to me, Anthony, why are they still counting the ballots? What's the glitch?
I think, aside from
the obvious of that they're stealing and cheating and trying to win the election like that, but what's the official word given for the explanation of why they're still counting ballots since the election was on February 7th?
That's the beauty of this Provisional Electoral Council in Haiti. It's been quite open all along that they are very incompetent. Not only are they incompetent, but they're very closely linked to the same opposition to RSD, the group of 184, civil society. I think it's just partly incompetence, partly the fact that the longer they prolong it, the more reporters leave Haiti. They know how the mainstream media works. Mm. The island will be flooded with reporters for a certain period. Then it just goes away, and people will have a hard time even finding what's going on in Haiti. All they'll remember is the euphoric images of the day of the elections. They'll remember a little bit of controversy. Then before long, people forget. They'll move on to the next crisis. And I think that's part of it. And I think it's also there's some major negotiations going on. For example, I think the CEP would probably say right now, okay, Préval, we'll give you the victory. We'll give you the outright victory. Just let our buddies name the prime minister, and we'll go ahead. We'll move forward.
So the prime minister has more authority and power than the president?
According to the Constitution, yeah. And in fact, ever since the coup d'etat, you never hear mention of the Haitian interim president. All you ever hear is a mention of the prime minister who was imported from Florida, Gerard Latortue.
Let me get to a couple of callers here before I get to some more questions. Peter, you have a question for our guest, Anthony Fenton.
Yeah, good morning, Anthony. You know, from what I can say, I don't think if Haiti depends on receiving any type of assistance from Western countries, I doubt if that ever would come, not only in my lifetime, but I doubt in anyone's lifetime. But what do you see the ultimate solution for Haiti? Should Haiti turn to those other non-Western countries, maybe to Africa, some nations in Africa? And what type of relationship does it have with Cuba? Thank you.
Well, the relation, it had good relations with Cuba, and that was one of the problems going into Aristide's overthrow.
And also, Préval also has mentioned the C word as well.
Yeah, and you know, right now, even to this day, there are several hundred Cuban doctors there working all over rural Haiti, providing health care, much like is going on in Venezuela. And that's another thing, you know, Venezuela, Haiti basically needs genuine solidarity. I mean, they had an economic embargo imposed on them. Four years before Aristide was overthrown, and all the aid, so-called aid that's going in today, is tied to this all neoliberal restructuring. So basically, Haiti doesn't need, you know, foreign intervention. They don't need military occupation. They don't need the resurrection of their dreaded, you know, military, which is what we're seeing unfold. And of course, the plans for Haiti are to put them into the global, you know, marketplace by building new sweatshops, building these so-called free trade zones, using Haiti's so-called comparative advantage of an endless supply of cheap labor. And so we really just have to, resisting this, you know, Haitians will. They've been resisting foreign intervention for 200 years. But as far as we're concerned outside and how we can express solidarity is to resist from within our countries, the ones who are carrying out these plans. We have to realize the extent that our privilege here in Canada or in the United States is largely based on the poverty of countries like Haiti. And, you know, we have to get our heads around that and do what we can about it to oppose it inside our countries.
There's also talk that Prévol would also pave the way for Aristide to come home. How much truth is it to that, or how much are you hearing that?
I think he's been very guarded in how he's responded to that, because he knows that if he responds the wrong way, the elite would use this as a means of demonizing him. So he has said that Haiti's constitution doesn't forbid any Haitian from returning from exile. So I think, in fact, we've heard from some reporting on the ground in Haiti that many people at the polls were saying a vote for Prévol is a vote for Aristide's return.
Mm.
Got to remember, like, it was only 3 weeks before the coup, you know, there was like a million people on the streets supporting Aristide. And after the coup, there were massive mobilizations that time and time again were fired on by either the occupying foreign forces or the Haitian police. And so, again, these elections and the massive turnout just are an indication of the sentiment that still supports a return of Aristide. But it remains to be seen, you know, part of the negotiations. Prévol has taken power.
Well, we're going to take a break. I'm talking to freelance investigative journalist Anthony Fenton. He's also a columnist for ZNet. He's joining us from Vancouver. We're talking about the ongoing election in Haiti, and we will also be talking about Venezuela when we come back. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get to me. We'll be back.
After all this time, nothing's changed. Made me wanna holler, make me wonder how this. Made me wanna holler, sell my soul to see a happy song. Made me wanna holler, sigh.
Found another good old boy network at work inside FEMA. And it's a major reason why the people of New Orleans had no chance to get any meaningful help after Hurricane Katrina. Former FEMA director Joe Alabaugh and the man he selected as his replacement, Michael Brown, knew nothing about dealing with disasters. And associates described both of them as being ethically challenged. So how did they get their jobs? Another fascinating story you will only hear on The Wake Up Call with investigative journalist Russ Baker, coming up Thursday at 9 with Liz Brown.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues in the African American History Series. On Saturday, February 18th at 12 noon at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park, explore the historical relationships between various racial and ethnic groups in St. Louis by taking part in the guided Missouri History Museum tour, St. Louis in Black and White. After the tour, celebrate the life of late civil rights pioneer Rosa Parks in the dramatic play Rosa Parks and the Montgomery Bus Boycott. Performance at 2 p.m. Tickets are $5 per person for the general public and $3 per person for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Call 361-9017 or go to www.mohistory.org.
Science or religion, Republican or Democrat, politics, education, crime, or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies. What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan, on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
Do you take Tylenol or other medications containing acetaminophen to help alleviate pain? Did you know you could be running the risk of damaging your liver by overusing this popular pain reliever? We have some eye-opening information on this issue Wednesday morning at 9 with a couple of representatives from the American Pain Society. It's another one of our Can't Miss This One programs, Wednesday at 9, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to freelance investigative journalist Anthony Fenton. He's also a columnist for ZNet. He's joining us from Vancouver. And we're talking about what's going on in Haiti, and also we're going to talk as well about Venezuela. Anthony, I'm looking at some blogs, an AP blog on the Haiti elections out of the Post. And the question that they're asking is, how long will the Haitian people be patient with this?
Be patient with the...
With the vote count.
Well, I think we saw last night, I mean, mm-hmm. the patience wearing pretty thin. I mean, tens of thousands took to the streets saying, you know, imagine that in the United States, like in St. Louis there, you know. I mean, imagine if just tens of thousands of people took to the streets protesting, you know, of ballot counting, or even after the presidential elections, you know. I mean, there's a lot of controversy in Ohio, but I don't know if there were, like, tens of thousands of people on the street, you know. And it's an amazing sight, and, like, especially when you see, in fact, you talk about Venezuela, I was there in Caracas just a couple weeks ago, and there was this major mobilization of people in support of the revolution there. And, like, when you're in the midst of a crowd like that, I mean, I don't know what it's a sign of. It's a sign of unity around certain principles. And in the case of, you know, Haiti's elections, like, it's just a deep, deep sense of frustration because, I mean, of course, the context surrounding Haiti's patience or lack thereof, in the AP or anywhere in the mainstream, doesn't put into context the reality of these last 2 years, right? I mean, this is a people who's been under siege by, you know, death squads, by UN forces.
And I want to talk about that, too, because whenever we hear UN talked about in Haiti, it's in the context of peacekeeping methods. That peacekeeper, I just thought, my head just kind of like went around 360 degrees. Peacekeepers fired upon Haitians. How does that work, you know?
Yeah. Contradiction in terms.
Yeah. How does that work? But there's evidence of murders by some would describe as murders by UN peacekeeping squads of Haitian people.
Yeah, and, I mean, video evidence shows that these weren't just murders; these were massacres, especially one that took place on July 6th. There's been a lot of pressure by the international community and also Haiti's elite, the same ones who appear to be rigging this election process, for the UN to go into neighborhoods like Cité Soleil and basically fire arbitrarily. And see, the problem in Cité Soleil is that, of course, there's crime and there are gangs and there's obviously deep poverty. But you can't just go into Cité Soleil and start firing because you're going to kill civilians. And the UN knows this, and the Haiti's elite know this, but they're comfortable with that. They don't mind what they call collateral damage. But, you know, just about 6 weeks ago, I think it was now, the UN commander is said to have committed suicide, the first UN commander in the history of the United Nations to ever commit suicide while on duty, did so at the Hotel Montana in Haiti. That's the same hotel where thousands of Haitians swarmed.
Tens of thousands.
Yes, yes. And so... you're seeing, in fact, when we're...
Wait a minute. I got to get back to the suicide piece. Please explain to me why there wasn't a story on this. Why didn't we hear about this?
Well, I think that was covered. There was coverage of the suicide,
mm-hmm.
and some people think that, you know, he didn't kill himself. He was killed mm-hmm. by people who saw him as a barrier to these interventions.
Mm.
But it's also the case that the night before, he'd had a heated meeting with members of Haiti's business community over this very question of going into these poor neighborhoods. So there are people in
Brazil. If he was murdered, are you saying that the word on the street is that it may have been through the business interests or through the Haitian people?
Oh, no, it would have been through the elites who are pressuring the UN to go into these neighborhoods and commit atrocities.
Well, that's phenomenal that if that is so, the place where they see themselves, that they could do this and apparently get away with it.
Yeah, now, I think the book has more or less officially been closed on that. The Brazilians sent a team of analysis and they concluded that he did indeed commit suicide. But, you know, you talk to some Haitian people and they question this. But the point is that the person who took over right after him was a Chilean soldier who was a, you know, ran his own death squads under Pinochet in Chile.
Jesus.
And then he was replaced by another Brazilian. But the Brazilians are trying to say that they're not committing atrocities, that there have been a few incidents where civilians have gotten injured, and they really are trying to keep the lid on what the UN has actually been doing in Haiti. And if they admit any of these atrocities, they try and blame them on the Jordanian troops who are there in big numbers. There's two Jordanian battalions there who are working mainly in these poor neighborhoods, and they're trying to finger them. But in fact, it's the whole nature of the occupation, which is against the Haitian masses and protecting Haiti's elite and elite interests.
What is the American presence in Haiti like today?
Well, my research has shown that they're still there in a military capacity. In fact, just yesterday we heard reports of 800 U.S. Marines gathering along the Dominican border for some reason. But they are there intervening heavily on the political side, because the long-term solution to Haiti isn't necessarily a military one. It's a political one. Haiti has to be restructured along these neoliberal political lines that are in the interests of, you know, global transnational capitalists and all that. And so the United States has been investing many millions of dollars trying to engineer a certain political outcome. But at the same time, of course, there's U.S. Marines. There are Canadian, on the Canadian side, there's Canadian special forces there that aren't officially there. You know, there's attaches, and there's, of course, who knows to what extent intelligence agencies like the CIA and the DIA are functioning on the ground to assist in this whole process.
Going to Venezuela now. If you listen to, if you read reports, Pat Robertson has reintroduced his call to kill, to murder the president, Hugo Chavez, of Venezuela. It's almost, when you read commentary in American newspapers, even on places that are as supposedly as liberal as The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, there is an understanding amongst the audience that there is something wrong with, there is something bad about, that Hugo Chavez is in the same realm as a dictator. When you went to Venezuela, what did you see about the relationship between the citizens of Venezuela and Hugo Chavez?
Overwhelmingly, in fact, I already mentioned the demonstration, the march we went to. This is a 16-kilometer march on Saturday, February 4th, which is the 12th anniversary of basically the beginning of the Bolivarian Revolution. When Chavez was a colonel, he attempted to overthrow, with a number of other dissident soldiers, the Washington-favored neoliberal regime at the time. And this failed, but there's a famous comment that Chavez made on that day. He said, "We have failed for now, but, you know, in effect, we will be back." And they were. And since 1998, Chavez's mandate as president has been ratified, I believe, in 12 separate elections, including, you know, all these referendums that the opposition has tried to arrange with the U.S.'s help. Well, this march last Saturday, you know, I have never witnessed anything so massive. And this wasn't a protest rally. This is a celebratory rally, a rally celebrating the Bolivarian Revolution as it's unfolding, celebrating the presidency of Hugo Chavez. And there were literally upwards of a million people there, like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. 5 kilometers of this highway that we marched on at any given time was filled with people. And there were video, there were helicopter flybys that caught this, and it was all over the TV stations afterwards. And when we left and we looked in the international media, what you saw was a complete inversion of what actually took place. So this wasn't a massive, you know, mobilization of the Venezuelan people in support of their government. This is thousands of people. This is thousands of people marching, but at the same time, there were thousands of opposition people marching. And
that's how the international press reported it.
Yeah, and it wasn't so much a celebration. It was it was like a characterized by Chavez being pitted against the U.S. It was an us versus them rally. It was like, I'm not Hitler. Bush is Hitler, and that was like the sound bites that they sort of focused on. And there is tension between Venezuela and the United States, of course. Chavez has come out repeatedly calling, he actually calls George Bush Mr. Danger. he while teaching the Venezuelan people about U.S. imperialism, you know, he's basically saying that we are developing an alternative to that, a new kind of socialism, the only kind of socialism that can be built in this, you know, globalized 21st century world. But they're gradually getting there. Now, nobody says that it's perfect there, and you know,
well, there's no place on earth where anything is perfect.
Yeah, and even people who are hardcore Chavistas will say, you know, well, we hope corruption is, you know, gets taken care of. But nobody's calling for his overthrow or assassination of the masses in Venezuela.
And we're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to freelance investigative journalist Anthony Fenton. He's also a columnist for ZNet. He's joining us from Vancouver. This is Liz Brown and The Wake Up Call. I'll be back after this break. Please stay with me.
It's not the bare moon that excites me. The thrills and delights me. Oh no, yes, just as many as you.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Caracas. Some harsh words were leveled at British Prime Minister Tony Blair by the leader of Venezuela. President Hugo Chavez was responding to comments Blair had made about Venezuela during a session of Parliament last week. Blair accused Chavez of running a left-wing agenda and said if his country sought the respect of other countries, it needed to abide by international rules. Blair also questioned Venezuela's alliance with Cuba. President Chavez fired back, saying Blair did not have the morality to say anything about respecting international law or the sovereignty of nations. He also accused Blair of being, quote, the ally of the genocidal murderer George Bush, unquote. This was the first time that Chavez had negative remarks toward the British Prime Minister. On a diplomatic note, the American naval attaché was expelled from Venezuela last week after being accused of spying. The U.S. State Department responded by asking the Venezuelan ambassador to leave the United States, although he was not accused of doing anything wrong. And Dateline Washington, the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration is reporting that it has outstanding fines to the tune of over $16 million as of the end of 2005. One of the biggest problems for not collecting money is that fines assessed are pretty much paid voluntarily by the violators. A recent survey of mining companies in Kentucky determined that there were a number of years recently when as many as one-third of the underground mine operations in that state paid nothing on their fines. The procedure is that after 180 days, the Treasury Department is called upon to make collection. But if the operator can't be located, goes out of business, or says he just can't pay, the Mine Safety Administration writes off the debt. A spokesman for the United Mine Workers says right now, mine operators are making tons of money and are not concerned about paying fines. Perhaps they consider them the cost of doing business. This is your wake-up call global news update. We've found another good old boy network at work inside FEMA. And it's a major reason why the people of New Orleans had no chance to get any meaningful help after Hurricane Katrina. Former FEMA director Joe Alabaugh and the man he selected as his replacement, Michael Brown, knew nothing about dealing with disasters. And associates described both of them as being ethically challenged. So how did they get their jobs? Another fascinating story you will only hear on The Wake Up Call with investigative journalist Russ Baker, coming up Thursday at 9 with Liz Brown.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Are those wedding bells I'm hearing? You know what that means. No, not Valentine's Day. It's the St. Clair Bridal Fest. Fest Spring Review at St. Clair Square, February 18th and 19th. Whether you're planning an entire wedding or just looking for ideas for your wedding planner, the St. Clair Bridal Fest Spring Review is the place to be. Bridal Fest will have vendors and exhibitors from all areas of the bridal and party industry. See the latest fashions while you explore a variety of displays that are sure to inspire. Take a break in the center court and enjoy the music from Night Magic Entertainment. Don't forget to stop by the Bridal Registry, sign up for the mailing list, and pick up your Bridal Fest bingo card. Fill in the spaces and you could win one of thousands of dollars in prizes to be given away all weekend long. That's the St. Clair Bridal Fest, February 18th and 19th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored by Patty Cakes, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at sbcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Tuesday morning, 10 a.m., what to do, what to do. How about joining me for the Susan Smith-Harmon Show on AM 920 WGNU? We'll talk about all of the politics we're used to, plus anything else that gets our attention. Frank will be along just for fun. It'll be a great time. 10 a.m. every Tuesday, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Do you take Tylenol or other medications containing acetaminophen to help alleviate pain? Did you know you could be running the risk of damaging your liver by overusing this popular pain reliever? We have some eye-opening information on this issue Wednesday morning at 9 with a couple of representatives from the American Pain Society. It's another one of our Can't Miss This One programs, Wednesday at 9, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and my guest this morning is freelance investigative journalist Anthony Fenton. He's a columnist for ZNet, and he's joining us from Vancouver, and he just returned from Venezuela. Anthony, what took you to Venezuela?
I actually went there for the World Social Forum, to organize. I went down with an organization called the Canada-Haiti Action Network, and we met up with a large delegation of Haitians, many of which were in exile, one of which actually is an attorney for many of Haiti's political prisoners. One person that was there, he's a grassroots leader. He was overthrown in the coup, and it's funny because a friend of his brought some footage that shows, like, at a snap of the fingers where he's from in Haiti, you know, 20,000 people will come to the street and flock around him and listen to him speak. And we had the privilege to hear him speak at the World Social Forum and make quite a splash there with a growing sort of international solidarity network of people trying to raise attention to what's going on in Haiti, what the foreigners are doing to mess with them.
Because if my understanding is correct, I remember that Hugo Chavez also invited Aristide to reside with him after he was ousted, or after the coup.
Well, for good reason, Chavez opposed the coup. Now, some interesting things played down at this World Social Forum because, for example, the Canadian government, they've funded a lot of Haitian NGOs that talk progressive but walk reactionary. By that, I mean that they go and they fly around on a lot of these international circuit and they present themselves as being anti-neoliberal and anti-occupation, but in reality, many of them have supported. And so a lot of these sorts of NGOs, not only the Haitian ones, but many of the Canadian and American ones, they were at the World Social Forum. And so there's a bit of clash and a bit of a discussion about these issues. And I think that was good because we need to discuss, if you're an NGO that gets millions of dollars from a government, you know, and yet you're claiming to be progressive. You know, there's some serious contradictions you need to be dealt with, and the World Social Forum itself is becoming increasingly characterized and taken over by some of these powerful NGOs. So I think it was a good experience overall, and but that wasn't sullied by the great work and the great experience of organizing these workshops and networking and meeting all sorts of new people.
There must be a sense of optimism. There must be a sense of excitement given what is happening in Central America right now.
Oh, definitely. Latin America in general, you know, with the revolution building.
Because that is what's happening here, isn't it? I mean, when we look at Bolivia, when we look at Venezuela, things are happening. And even Mexico.
It's happening, but of course, the United States and its allies have their sights set on any place where popular democracy might manifest. In fact, I got a rare interview with a program officer from the CIA front group, the National Endowment for Democracy, and they said that, you know, in 2006, Venezuela, Haiti, Ecuador, and Bolivia are like on the top four of the list of governments that need to be kept in check or dealt with. And by that is, you know, destabilized, undermined. And of course, Cuba is always tops on that list.
And what's interesting, though, is that we have an administration in the United States right now that, as much as that may be on their wish list, they are truly, truly distracted with the other things that they're doing.
Well, yeah, they're distracted, but they're also very good multitaskers. So whereas the military is overcommitted in the Middle East, but thanks to Canadian military and a growing Canadian military, that'll be alleviated. But of course, they also have an army of these what they call democracy promoters. These organizations that go in and intervene in these countries and lay the groundwork for later military interventions.
So, in terms of the future of a connection between Haiti and Venezuela, is that possible?
Oh, I think for sure. I think that Venezuela's countenance toward Haiti is nothing but, you know, at root, fundamentally, genuine solidarity. So I think if, for example, if Preval is permitted to form a government, I think you'll see a new sort of relationship between him and Venezuela. But of course, you know, the elites and the United States and the foreigners, they're working. They're aware of this. Like, that's one of the greatest dangers in their perspective. They do not want Haiti's new government to form close ties with Venezuela or Cuba. They want to be the ones who put this cloak of quote-unquote protection over the island.
And also the differences with Venezuela is that they've got deep pockets.
Yeah.
They have a lot of money to actually to reach out and to actually touch Haiti and make a change economically.
Yeah, they do, and they would do so in a way that does benefit Haiti's poor, whereas, you know, the way that it's being done now is in a way that benefits the elites.
And we have it seems like the pattern that we're seeing are men being elected from the groups of people that are the majority people in the country, like Bolivia and Venezuela, the poor people.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that's characterized, you know, the hemisphere in particular over the last 30 years has been growing inequality, growing social unrest, and this is just a reflection of people's desire for change and for real, legitimate change in their interests.
And Anthony, where can people get some copies of some things that you have written and find out more about you?
Well, I post articles on ZNet. I was on Democracy Now. There's an interview we did on this, the political intervention. It's on there. It's archived on there. And there's another newspaper, a Canadian grassroots one called The Dominion. That's dominionpaper.ca that I contribute to.
Very good. Anthony Fenton, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Wake Up Call.
Thank you, Liz. Take care.
You too. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Some amazing stories coming out of the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. You do not... You better not miss this one. You better not miss this one. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Happy Valentine's Day. Stay strong.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power.
to you. You were born with power.
Tonight's bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. It's a sign that life is slowly returning to normal in New Orleans months after Hurricane Katrina. One of the city's hospitals is now partially open. Details from ABC's Alex Jones.
Only about a third of Tulane University Hospital is actually reopening today, but it will be the first time a downtown New Orleans hospital has accepted patients since